ಜಯಂ ಶುಪಾಲ ಪರಮಂತ ಪರಿಪಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಸದಸ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಅಭಯಚರಣಾರವಿಂದ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಿ ಜಯಂ ಕ್ರೀಲಾ ಪ್ರವಿಷ್ಟ ವಿಶ್ವಪಾಲ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿಪಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಸದಸ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಭಕ್ತಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಿ ಅನಂತಗೋಣಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ಬೃಂದಕಿ ರಾಮಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಶಹರ್ದಾಸ್ ಠಾಕೂರ್ಗೆ ರಾಮ್ ಸಹೋ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀತ್ವೈದ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಪಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತ ಬೃಂದಕಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೋಪ ಗೋವಿನಾಥ ಶ್ಯಾಮ ರಾಧಾಗುಂಡಗಿರಿ ಗೋವರ್ಧಾನಿಕಿ ಬೃಂದಾವನ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಮಾಯಾಪುರ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಮಧುರಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥ್ಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ದ್ವಾರಕಾಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ದೇವಿಕಿ ಸಾಮವೇದ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದಕಿ ಗೌರ್ ಪ್ರೇಮಾನಂದಿ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ವಿತ್ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ವಿತ್ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ವಿತ್ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುವನ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಗೌರಾಂಗ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ್ ನಮಾಮಿ ಶ್ರೀಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾಯ ಭೂದಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮದಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ನಿಧಿ ನಾಮಿನಿ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವಿಂ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣಿ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶ ತಾರಿಣಿ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವದೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವದೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವದೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಸಂಸಾರ ಸಾಗರೇ ಮಗ್ನಂ ದೀನಂ ಮಾಂ ಕರುಣಾನಿಧೇ ಕರ್ಮಗ್ರಾಹಗೃಹೀತಾಂಗಂ ಮಾಮುದ್ಧರ ಭವಾರ್ಣವಾದ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ಭಾಗವದಾಖ್ಯೋಯಂ ಪ್ರತ್ಯಕ್ಷ ಕೃಷ್ಣಮೇವ ಹಿ ಸ್ವೀಕೃತೋಸಿ ಮಯಾನಾಥ ಮುಕ್ತ್ಯರ್ಥಂ ಭವಸಾಗರೇ ಮನೋರಥೇ ಮದೀಯೋಯಂ ಸಫಲಾ ಸರ್ವದಾ ತ್ವಯ ನಿರ್ವಿಘ್ನೇನೈವ ಕರ್ತವ್ಯಂ ದಾಸೋಹಂ ತವ ಕೇಶವ ಭವೇ ಭವೇ ಯಥಾ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಪಾದಯೋರ್ಸವ ಜಾಯತೆ ತಥಾ ಕುರುಷ್ವ ದೇವೇಶ ನಾಥಸ್ತ್ವಂ ನೋ ಯದ ಪ್ರಭೋ ನಾಮ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನಂ ಯಸ್ಯ ಸರ್ವಪಾಪ ಪ್ರಣಾಶನಂ ಪ್ರಣಾಮೋ ದುಃಖ ಶಮನಂ ತಂ ನಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಂ ಪರಂ ಜನ್ಮಾದ್ಯಸ್ಯ ಯದೋನ್ವಯಾದಿತರದಸ್ ಚಾರ್ತೇಷ್ವಭಿಜ್ಞಸ್ವರಾಡ್ ತೇನೇ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಹೃದಾಯ ಆದಿಕವಯೇ ಮುಹ್ಯಂದಿ ಯಲ್ ಸೂರಯ ತೇಜೋ ವಾರಿ ಮೃದಂ ಯಥಾ ವಿನಿಮಯೋ ಯತ್ರ ತ್ರಿಸರ್ಗೋ ಮೃಷಾ ಧಾಮ್ನಾ ಸ್ವೇನ ಸದಾ ನಿರಸ್ತಕುಹಕಂ ಸತ್ಯಂ ವರಂ ಧೀಮಹಿ ಧರ್ಮ ಪ್ರೋಜ್ಜಿತ ಕೈದವೋತ್ರ ಪರಮೋ ನರ್ಮತ್ಸರಾಣಾಂ ಸದಾ ವೇದ್ಯಂ ವಾಸ್ತವಮತ್ರ ವಸ್ತು ಶಿವದಂ ತಾಪತ್ರಯೋನ್ಮೂಲನಂ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ಭಾಗವದೇ ಮಹಾಮುನಿ ಕೃತೇ ಕಿಂ ವಾ ಪರೈರೀಶ್ವರ ಸದ್ಯೋ ಹೃದ್ಯ ವರುದ್ಯದೇತ್ರ ಕೃತಿ ಶುಶ್ರೂಷುಭಿ ತಲ್ಕ್ಷಣಾಲ್ ನಿಗಮಕಲ್ಪತರೋರ್ಗಲಿದಂ ಫಲಂ ಶುಗಮುಖಾದಮೃತದ್ರವ ಸಂಯುಧಂ ಪಿಬದ ಭಾಗವತಂ ರಸಮಾಲಯಂ ಹುರಹೋರಸಿಗಾ ಭುವಿ ಭಾವುಕಾಃ ಸಚ್ಚಿದಾನಂದರೂಪಾಯ ವಿಶ್ವೋಲ್ಪತ್ಯಾದಿಹೇದವೇ ತಾಪತ್ರಯ ವಿನಾಶಾಯ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ವಯಂ ನುಮಃ ಯಂ ಪ್ರವ್ರಜಂತಂ ಹನುಭೇದಮಭೇದಕೃತ್ಯಂ ದ್ವೈವಾಯನೋ ವಿರಹಕಾದರಮಜ್ಜುಹಾವಾಂ ಪುತ್ರೇದಿದನ್ಮಯದಯತ್ತರವೋಭಿನೇದು ತಂ ಸರ್ವಭೂತಹೃದಯಂ ಮುನಿಮಾನದೋಸ್ಮಿ ಯಸ್ವಾನುಭಾವಮಖಿಲ ಶ್ರುತಿಸಾರಮೇಕಂ ಅಧ್ಯಾತ್ಮದೀಪಮದಿತಿ ತೀರ್ಷದಾಂ ತಮೋಂಧಂ ಸಂಸಾರಿಣಾಂ ಕರುಣಯಾಹ ಪುರಾಣಗುಹ್ಯಂ ತಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಸೂನುಮುಪಯಾಮಿ ಗುರುಂ ಮುನೀನಾಂ ನಾರಾಯಣಂ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯ ನರಂ ಚೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಂ ದೇವಿಂ ಸರಸ್ವತಿಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ತದೋ ಜಯಮುದೀರಯೇ ಕಮನೀಯ ಕಿಶೋರಮುಗ್ಧಮೂರ್ತೇ ನೂಕುಣಿದಾಧೃದಾನನೆಂದೋಃ ಮಮ ವಾಚಿ ವಿಜೃಂಭದಾ ಮುರಾರೇ ಮಧುರೀಂ ನ ಕನಿಕಾಭಿ ಕಾಭಿಗಾಭಿ ನಮಃಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮದಿ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ನಿಧಿ ನಾಮಿನಿ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವಿಂ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣಿ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶಧಾರಿಣಿ ಶ್ರೀಮಲ್ ಗುರುಚರಣಾರವಿಂದಾಭ್ಯಾಂ ನಮಃ ವಂದೇ ನಂದವ್ರಜಸ್ತ್ರೀನಾಂ ಪಾದರೇಣುಮಭೀಷ್ಣಶಃ
Yasam Harigadot Gidam Punadi Bhuvanatrayam Gopi Charanaravinda Paramanavinama Pidambaram Karavirajita Chakrashangham Kaumodagi Sarasijam Karuna Samudram Ratha Sahayamadi Sundaramandahasam Vatalaya Shamanisham Kudibhavayami Komalam Kujayan Venum Shamaloyam Kumaraka Veda Vedya Param Brahma Vasadam Puradomama Mugam Karodi Vachalam Pangam Langayade Girim Yalkrupatamaham Vande Paramananda Madhavam Shri Krishna Namah Shri Madhyadhyaye Namah Sarvatra Govinda Nama Sangirtanam Govinda Govinda Om Parthaya Pradipodidam Bhagavatam Narayanena Swayam Vyasena Graditam Purana Muninam Madhye Mahabharatam Advaidamrata Varshinim Bhagavatim Ashtadashadhyayinim Ambatva Manusandhadami Bhagavad Gita Bhavadveshinim Namostu Devyasa Vishala Buddhe Pullara Vindayata Patra Netra Yena Tvaya Bharata Taila Purna Prajwalido Jnanamaya Pradipam Prapanna Parijataya Totra Vetraika Panaye Jnanamudraya Krishnaya Gidamrata Duhe Nama Sarva Upanishado Gavo Dugdha Gopala Nandana Partho Valsa Sudhir Bhokta Dugdham Gidamratam Mahan Vasudeva Sudam Devam Kamsa Chanura Mardanam Devagi Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagadgurum Bhishma Dronadana Jayadrata Jala Gandhara Nilolpala Shalyagrahavadi Kribena Vahani Karnena Velakula Ashwathama Vigarna Ghoramagara Duryodhana Vartini Sotirna Kalubandavai Rananadi Kaivartaka Keshava Parasharyavajasara Ojamamalam Gidarthagandhol Kadam Nana Akhyanagake Saram Harikata Sambodhana Bodhidam Loga Isajana Shalpadairaharaha Pebiyamana Mudam Bhuyad Bharata Bangaja Kalimala Pradhum Sina Shreyase Mugam Karodi Vachalam Pangam Lenkhayade Girim Yalkrupatamaham Vande Paramananda Madhavam Yam Brahma Varunindra Rudra Marudastvan Vande Divyaistavair Vedair Sangabadair Kramopanishadair Gayandiyam Samagaha Dhyana avasthita tadgadena manasa pashyandiyam yogino yasyandam navidusura suraganai devaya tasmai namam.
Yesterday, we saw three verses in the 13th chapter. After Krishna has spoken about the nature of a devotee, Krishna considers that Malbhakta edad vijnaya madbhavayova padyade. In the 19th verse, Krishna says that the Malbhakta, the nature of a devotee, Krishna explains, this is Krishna's definition of a devotee. Mal bhaktaha mai ishwari sarvajni paramaguru vasudeve samarpita sarvalpa bhavam yat pashyadi shranodi sprishadi va sarvam eva bhagavan vasudeva idi evam graha avishta buddhihi mal bhaktaha. Krishna is saying that a devotee who has taken Krishna as the supreme controller and completely fixed his mind in Krishna, and whatever he touches or hears or seeing, everything that understanding that it is Krishna who is present in that. Just like when Kavi Maharshi mentioned about this, in the Hari Maharshi said this to Nimi, that Sarvabhudeshu Yapashet Bhagavad Bhavam Alpana Bhudani Bhagavatyasha Savai Bhagavadottama. It is the same devotee's nature that Krishna has spoken. Afterwards, we have seen in the next verse, the 20th,
പ്രകൃതി പുരുഷം ചൈവ വിദ്യനാദി വിദ്യ അനാദി ഉപാവപി വികാരാംശ ഗുണാംശ്ചൈവ വിദ്ധി പ്രകൃതി സംഭവാൻ. കൃഷ്ണ മെൻഷൻ ദെയർ ദാറ്റ് പ്രകൃതി ആൻഡ് പുരുഷ ദേ ആർ ബോത്ത് അനാദി ബിഗിനിങ് ലെസ് ആൻഡ് വികാരാംശ ഗുണാംശ്ചൈവ വിദ്ധി പ്രകൃതി സംഭവാൻ. ദി ഡിഫറൻസ് ഈസ് പ്രകൃതി ഈസ് സബ്ജക്റ്റഡ് ടു വികാരം, പുരുഷ ഡസ് നോട്ട് ഹാവ് വികാരം. വികാരം മീൻസ് ദ ചേഞ്ചസ് ദാറ്റ് ഹാപ്പൻസ് ഇൻ ദി പ്രകൃതി. ഇൻ അദർ വേർഡ്സ്, ഡ്യൂ ടു ദി ഇൻഫ്ലുവൻസ് ദ പ്രസൻസ് ഓഫ് ദി ത്രീ മോഡ്സ് ഓഫ് മെറ്റീരിയൽ നേച്ചർ, പ്രകൃതി കണ്ടിന്യൂസ്ലി ചേഞ്ചസ്. Whereas Purusha, because it is not touched by the modes of nature, it has no change. It always remains the same. Vidhi Prakriti Sambhavan. So, also, Nityeshwaratvad Ishwarasya Tal Prakrityoho Abhiyuktam Nityatvena Bhavidam Prakritidvayavatvam Evahi Ishwarasya Ishwaratvam. Ishwara is eternal, Nityam. And this Prakriti is also Nityam. And Krishna's this Ishwaratvam, Ishwaratvam means this controlling power in Krishna, is the because of this dvayam, this dual nature. That means the eternity of Prakriti and eternity of Ishwara, Purusha. Both of them are present in the in Krishna. That is why Ishwara's Ishwaratvam. Yabhyam Prakritibhyam Ishwaro Jagad Ulpatti Sthiti Pralayahedu Te Dve Anadi Satyav Samsarasya Karanam. Ishwara is the controller, is the proprietor of both Purusha and Prakriti. So the creation or Ulpatti of the creation, Ulpatti or the beginning of this creation and its sustenance or its maintenance or the dissolution or the devastation of this Prakriti, the cause of that and also this continuous cycle of birth and death, Samsara Chakram, as it is called. Both of these things are the Prakriti of that Purusha. Of that Purusha. That is why Yabhyam Prakritibhyam Ishwaroho Jagad Ulpatti Sthiti Pralayahedu Te Dve Anadi Satyav Samsarasya Karanam. Samsarasya Karanam. So, here, സംസാരസ്യ നിർനിമിത്തത്വേ അനിർമോക്ഷത പ്രസംഗാ ശാസ്ത്ര അനർത്ഥപ്രസംഗാ ബന്ധമോക്ഷോഭാവ പ്രസംഗാശ്ച. സംസംഗം, സംസാരം, ഫോർ ദാറ്റ് ഈവൻ ദോ ദർ ഈസ് ഇഫ് യു ആസ് ദ റീസൺ ഫോർ ദാറ്റ് വൈ ദിസ് മെറ്റീരിയൽ എക്സിസ്റ്റൻസ് ഹസ് കമ്മിൻ ടു എക്സിസ്റ്റൻസ്, ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് വെരി ഡിഫിക്കൽട്ട് ടു എക്സ്പ്ലെയിൻ ദാറ്റ് ബിക്കോസ് വി നോ ദാറ്റ് ദർ ഈസ് ബോണ്ടേജ് ആൻഡ് ദർ ഫോർ ദർ ഈസ് ലിബറേഷൻ ഈസ് പോസിബിൾ ഫ്രം ദാറ്റ് ബന്ധം ആൻഡ് മോക്ഷം. സോ നിത്യത്വേ പുന ഈശ്വരസ്യ പ്രകൃതിയോ സർവം ഏതത് ഉൽപ്പന്നം ഭവേത്. കൃഷ്ണസ് ദീസ് ടു ഈശ്വരാസ് ദീസ് ടു പ്രകൃതി ആൻഡ് ഇഫ് ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് അക്സെപ്റ്റഡ് ദൻ ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് അണ്ടർസ്റ്റാൻഡബിൾ ബിക്കോസ് പ്രകൃതി ബൈ നേച്ചർ ഈസ് ദീസ് ടു തിങ്സ് ദാറ്റ് ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് സബ്ജക്റ്റ് ഓഫ് ക്രിയേഷൻ ആൻഡ് ഓൾസോ ദി മെറ്റീരിയൽ എക്സിസ്റ്റൻസ്. സോ ബുദ്ധി, ഇൻ്റലിജൻസ്, ദ മെറ്റീരിയൽ ബോഡി, ദ ഗ്രോസ് ബോഡി ആൻഡ് ദ സെൻസസ്, ഓൾ ദീസ് തിങ്സ് ആർ സബ്ജക്റ്റഡ് ടു വികാരം. വികാരം മീൻസ് ചേഞ്ചസ്. ഇൻ അതർ വേർഡ്സ്, ഹാപ്പിനെസ് ആൻഡ് ഡിസ്ട്രെസ്, ഇല്യൂഷൻ, ഓൾ ദീസ് ദി തിങ്സ് വിച്ച് ആർ ദി പ്രോഡക്റ്റ് ഓഫ് ദി ത്രീ മോഡ്സ് ഓഫ് മെറ്റീരിയൽ നേച്ചർ, എവറിത്തിങ് ഹാസ് കം ഫ്രം ദർ ആൻഡ് ഇറ്റ് ഹാസ് ഇറ്റ്സ് ഇൻഫ്ലുവൻസ് ഓൺ ദീസ് തിങ്സ് വിച്ച് മീൻസ് ഓൺ ദ ബോഡി, ഓൺ ദ മൈൻഡ്, ഓൺ ദ ഇൻ്റലിജൻസ്, ഓൺ ദ സെൻസസ്. Now, Prakriti, because Prakriti consisting of Ishwara's power, Krishna's power, and it is also, it has got this, Prakriti includes both Ishwara's potency and also the Maya, which has got the three modes of material nature. And both these emotions or the Vigaram that is happening there and the three modes of material nature and whatever that is changing continuously is Prakriti. So it's very difficult to define Prakriti because which is constantly changing. Because of this changeable nature of Prakriti, it is very difficult to define Prakriti. Maya is also another aspect of Prakriti, isn't it? Prakriti's nature is Maya. Krishna mentions that. Devi Hyesha Gunamai Mama Maya Duratyaya. That Maya's nature is Prakriti and Gunamayi she is, the three modes of material nature, Rajas, Sattva, Rajas and Tamas. So we have seen that, and then Krishna mentions there in the next verse, Karyakarana Kartotve Hedu Prakriti Ruchyate Purusha Sukadukhanam Bhoktote Hedu Ruchyate, which we have seen yesterday, that that the karyam and karanam, cause and effect, all these things are in the prakriti, and sukham dukham is experienced when the purusha gets trapped in the prakriti. Purusha gets trapped in the prakriti. So after saying that, Krishna mentions about that the reason why the purusha experiences this effect of the prakriti is purusha prakritistho hi bhunkte prakritijan gunan karanam gunasangasya sadasad yoni janmasu, which we have discussed yesterday, that there are things like avidya. Avidya means ignorance in a person, and also the asakti, attachment there. So both of them, these two things are responsible for the rebirth in a person. So after saying that, Krishna mentions there that purusha prakritistho hi bunje prakritijam gunan karanam gunasangasya prakriti karanam sadasad yoni janmasu. Krishna says, as long as we have any connection with a particular modes of nature, whether it is sattugunam, rajogunam or tamogunam, so long as you have contact with any of these modes of nature, we will continue to take birth and will continue to experience death. So birth and death is only possible when we get released from the three modes of material nature. So depending on what modes of nature you are in contact with, you will get your next body. That means based on that, the demoniac body or a demigod's body or a human body, depending on the modes of nature. So Krishna says, according to that gunam, it will keep changing. According to the gunam, it will keep changing. So karanam gunasangasya sadasad yoni janmasu. So as we mentioned yesterday, that the modes of nature, all three modes of nature are present in everyone, but one of the nature will be predominating, and accordingly Krishna says this will happen. This will happen according to the most powerful modes of nature. The birth will accept the next body. After saying that, Krishna is going to explain that in a little bit more in detail in the next verse. So let's look at that.
Upadrashtamanumantacham
Bharta Bhokta Maheshwaram Paramatmedi Japyukto Dehesmin Purushaparam Upadrashta Anumantacham Bharta Bhokta Maheshwaram Paramatmedi Japyukto Dehesmin Purushaparam Upadrashta Anumanta Cha Bhartha Bhokta Maheshwara Paramalpedija Upyukto Dehesmin Purushaparam. Another important verse in this 13th chapter. Upadrashta Anumanta Cha Bhartha Bhokta Maheshwara Paramatmedi Chapyukto Dehesmin Purushapara. Yet in this body there is another, a transcendental enjoyer, who is the Lord, the supreme proprietor, who exists as the overseer and permitter, and who is known as the super soul. So here Upadrashta Anumantacha, Krishna mentions that earlier we have seen, Krishna referring to word prakriti, isn't it? In the earlier verses he said prakriti. Which is that prakriti? Prakriti actually refers to apara prakriti, not the para prakriti. Whenever Krishna's only, whenever they uses the word prakriti alone in the word, in Bhagavad Gita, it means apara prakriti, never para prakriti. Paraprakriti means it has to specifically mention, like in the 7th chapter, Krishna means Paraprakriti and Avaraprakriti. But wherever it is spoken only as Prakriti, it is Avaraprakriti. So here in this verse, Upadrashta Anumanta, Krishna is saying here, Paramatmedicha Pyukto Dehesmin Purusha Para. Here, Parama Paraprakriti is addressed as Paramatma. See that? Paramatmedicha Pyukto Dehesmin Purusha Para. Paraprakriti is Paramatma, Krishna is saying. Paraprakriti is Paramatma. Inferior nature is the Avaraprakriti, superior nature is the Paraprakriti. Inferior nature is generally addressed as Prakriti, and superior nature is not addressed as Prakriti, it is addressed as Paramatma. Paramatmedi chapyutto dehesmin purusha para. So, this Paraprakriti is, Krishna is saying, is Paramatma. Paraprakriti is Paramatma. And behind that Prakriti, two things Krishna mentions there, Upadrashta and Anumanta. He is Upadrashta, Anumanta. This Upadrashta means the speciality, that is what is shown there. The speciality of that Paramatma. What is that? And that is why that word Upa is used there. Otherwise, Drashta was sufficient. Why Upadrashta is used? Because to show the speciality of that Paramatma. In other words, sitting in my body, when I am speaking, he is observing me. That is why he is Upadrashta. Do you understand? That he is sitting in my own body, and when I am speaking, he is observing me. And sitting in your body, he is observing you, listening. That is why that word Upadrashta has come. Otherwise, Drashta would have been sufficient. The very special nature of this Drashta. Drashta means, simply means seer, one who sees. But Upadrashta is a special seer. Why is he a special seer? He is sitting in everyone's heart and is observing your actions. Observing your actions. So, because there are two persons inside. One person who is identifying with the body, isn't it? That's we addressed as the jiva, who identifies with the body, and the other purusha who does not identify, who does not identify. And this purusha, this purusha is observing that jiva who is identifying with the body, but this purusha is only an observer. Therefore, he is called Upadrashta. Upadrashta. Upadrashta and Anumanta. He has two things. Because within everyone, within everybody, observing the nature of their Upadhi. Upadhi means mind, body, intelligence, ego, senses, all are Upadhis. So what is this Paramatma doing inside? Paramatma sitting inside, he is observing the nature of our Upadhi, how our Upadhis are performing. In other words, how we are acting in this world with our mind, with our senses, with our intelligence, with our ego, with our body. How we are acting in this world. This is what Paramatma does. Paramatma's job is that. This is what he does inside. That is why Upadrashta is called. Because he doesn't get involved in anything. While sitting inside, he does this particular activity. That means he is observing your mind, observing your body, observing your intelligence, observing your senses, observing your ego in everything. So there, because he is Upa, that is why Upadrashta, he is situated in everyone's heart. Similarly, another aspect of that Paramatma is Anumanta. Krishna is saying Anumanta. Anumanta means one who gives permission for everything. That is Anumanta. Upadrashta and Anumanta. He situated as Upadrashta, observing everything what you are doing with your body, mind, intelligence, ego and senses. He is Anumanta because he sanctions everything what you want to do. What you want to do. For example, when you want to enjoy something, he gives you the permission to enjoy. When you want to sleep, he gives you the permission to sleep. When you want to taste something, he gives you the permission to taste. And if you want to get up, he allows you to get up, gives you the permission to get up. And making everyone to do what they want to do, because of his permission only you are able to do it. Otherwise you can't do that. That is a special nature of Paramatma. That he gives permission for everything. Suppose suddenly you want to get up, go to toilet, he gives you the permission to go. Or if you want to sleep, he allows you to sleep. So everything what the jiva is doing, a permission is required or a sanction is required. In other words, everything that is happening in our upadhi, particularly the body, the mind, intelligence, ego, senses, everywhere, everything that is happening is with his permission inside. And therefore he is called Anumanta. Anumanta means he is the cause of the permission, what he offers to us. In two ways, Upadrashta and Anumanta. Krishna saying, Bharta Bhokta Maheshwara. Bharta, because why is he Upadrashta and Anumanta? The reason is Bharta Bhokta Maheshwara. He is Bharta. That means he is the controller. He is the controller. Yes. Again, Krishna is establishing that principle. When Krishna is inside us as Paramatma, what he does to us, he is observing us, but he is also telling us, without his permission, it is not possible to do anything. To do anything. Therefore, because he is the controller, he is the Bharta. He is the controller, he is the Bharta. And continuously controlling us in all our activities. And Krishna says also that Bharta Bhokta Maheshwara. In our lifetime, Bodha Bhavyam, that means whatever that has happened in the past, whatever that is happened in the future, and whatever that is happening now. In the Vishnu Sahasranamam, that is why Krishna is addressed as Bodha Bhavya Bhavat Prabhu. Prabhu, who is in control of Bodham, Bhavyam and Bhavat. What is going to happen in the future, what is happening now, and what has happened in the past. So, Bodha Bhavya Bhavat Prabhu, that is Krishna. And he knows all the three things, what we have done in the past. These are all Paramatma's special features. Upadrashta, Anumanta. Then Bodha Bhavya Bhavat Prabhu, that means he also knows everything what you have done in the past. Not only in this lifetime, in several other lifetimes. Similarly, all what we are doing now at this moment, what thoughts are going through our mind, our activities, all that is known to him. And finally, he also knows what is the result of all our actions, how it is going to develop in the future. So, whatever that is happening, he knows what is going to happen to us, what is happening to us now. And what is going to happen to us in the future, also he knows. And he has the complete control of everything as Antaryami. He has the complete control of everything. That is why it said Bharta, the word used Bharta. Bharta means that he is the controller of everything, what is going to happen. Everything is in Krishna's control. And that Krishna, Bodha Bhavya Bhavat Prabhu, so because it is, and another aspect of that is, Krishna is the controller. Krishna knows the past, present and the future. Krishna gives the sanction of everything what we are doing through our body, mind, senses, intelligence, ego. And he gives permission for all that. Although all these things are happening, we inside do not know him. That is what Krishna is saying there. This is that special relationship what we have with Krishna. Krishna knows everything what we are planning to do, what we will do in the future, what the results of that will be. And Krishna also knows that Upadrashta, he gives the permission to do everything. We may not understand this fully till we realize it, that how much Krishna has to give us permission to do anything in this world. Otherwise, we cannot do it. Upadrashta, Anumanta, and Bhartha. Bhartha means, therefore, although all these things are happening inside as Paramatma, as Jiva, I do not know him. This is our present situation, isn't it? That as Jiva, we don't know what is going on inside. He is present there and he is doing so many things with us, giving us the permission to do things, and he also is observing our activities of the past, present and future, and then he knows how our senses, mind, intelligence, ego and body is functioning. He is aware of everything. He gives sanction for that. In spite of that, me, inside as Jiva, my ahankaram, false ego, I do not know him. I do not know him. Therefore, Upadrashta, four things there. Upadrashta, Anumanta, Bharta, Bhokta, and Maheshwara. Four, five words Krishna has used there. And that Prabhu knows me very well, but I do not know him. This is the relationship between me and Krishna. All of us. It is like that. That Prabhu, Upadrashta, Anumanta, Bharta, Bhokta, Maheshwara. Four things Krishna mentions that in there. And that Prabhu, which we have seen what that means, he knows me very well, but I do not know him. So, why is it spoken like that? Because here, it is spoken as Saguna Brahmam. Saguna Brahmam means, Brahmam has two aspects, Sagunam and Nirgunam, isn't it? Bhartha Bhokta Maheshwara, that is Sagunam aspect of Krishna. Saguna means with attributes. When you, Brahman, when it assumes the personality, it is called a Sagunam. When it is not has a personality, it is called a Nirgunam. Saguna Brahman has these two aspects. All the forms we accept is Sagunam. Means with attributes. Sagunam Brahman. That Bhartha Bhokta Maheshwara. In other words, it is he who is present inside as Jiva. That also you shouldn't forget that. When we say Jiva, Jiva is not always separate. That Krishna is present inside as Jiva. That is why he is able to experience everything, but when he is experiencing, it is experienced as Jiva. Therefore, he is addressed as Jiva. But at the same time, he is transcendental to that as Maheshwara. Maheshwara. Paramatma idi. He says, Paramatma idi chapyukto dehesmin purushapara. Paramatma idi chapyukto dehesmin purushapara. So, he is called as Paramatma, and in this body, he is present in says purushapara. Purushapara. Purushapara means purushapara in the form of Prakriti. In other words, purushapara, that means, when that Paramatma acts as a Jiva, he is in the control of Prakriti, isn't it? He is in the control of Prakriti. This is a very unusual relationship between Paramatma and Jivatma. In the Upanishads and all, the way they, and also in the Bhagavadam, the way are explaining is the sun is a Paramatma. When he is reflecting in the mind, when he is reflecting in the subtle body, he is Jiva, what reflects. Because when the same Paramatma is present in the subtle body, automatically the effect of the subtle body, what is subtle body's effect? Subtle body's effect is the vasanas inside, isn't it? What we have accumulated in different lifetimes through karma. Those vasanas affects that presence of Paramatma inside, and then it becomes a Jiva. The reflection of Paramatma in the Chittam is called Jiva. So Jiva, although it is Paramatma, although he is Paramatma, due to the influence of the vasanas there in the subtle body, he becomes a Jiva. So that is why Krishna is saying here that when he wants to experience that the vasanas of the living entity, vasanas of the living being, he is present also in the form of I am, present in everyone, isn't it? Just like the big sky, when it comes into a pot, Ghatagasham and Matagasham. Agasham means sky. When the sky comes into a pot, that in, what do you experience? That akhandam means that big sky, when it comes under the influence of the small sky, we consider that sky as within the pot. But actually, the sky is not within the pot. Once you break that pot, there is no separate sky existing. Similarly, Krishna is saying here that when that Paramatma is within this body, it appears as though it's a jiva. The qualities of jiva comes to it. It becomes a jiva. And when it becomes a jiva, it becomes parichinnam. Parichinnam means it's limited. It is limited. So that is why we have that limited experience only within the body. In qualitatively, we have all the quality as Paramatma has. That is what is inside us. But because it has become a jiva, jiva's nature, that it is always limited. It's limited to this body. Doesn't have any experience of the outside the body. When it comes to, when it is confined to this body, it is a jiva and it is called parichinam. Parichinam means it is very limited. Parichinam means it's very limited. So, this aspect, what Krishna mentions here, is the same thing. Prakriti vikriti bhinnam, prakriti vikriti bhinna shuddha bodha svabhavam, sadasadidamashesham, bhavayan nirvishesham, vilasadi paramalpam, jagradadi shavastha, sohamahamidi sachal, sachirubena buddhehe. This is the nature of that Paramatma. Paramatma's nature. This is an important verse in the sense, this relationship with Paramatma and Jiva, this is very important to know, because sometimes we think that Jiva remains as Jiva forever. But then what happens to the Jiva? In the bhakti concept, you will say that you go back to Godhead, you go to the spiritual world, you will have different relationship with Krishna. That is from the bhakti point of view, it's spoken like that. But Upanishad's conclusion is that Paramatma, when it is reflecting in the chittam, in the subtle body, the vasanas are influencing that. But the fact remains that all the Paramatma's qualities are in the Jivatma as well. Is it not? Paramatma present there has qualities in the Jivatma. That's why you will see that this concept of separation of Jivatma and Paramatma is only in the bhakti concept. Only in the bhakti concept. Prabhupada also mentions that in the Bhagavad Gita. He says that at least as the, in the bhakti concept, he says, in one place. Because only the bhakti concept that exists. Otherwise, Jivatma and Paramatma is one and the same in quality. There is no difference at all. He has the same nature because he is spirit, isn't it? Otherwise, it will be contradicting the 7th chapter verses. In the 7th chapter, it is saying, Apareyam idasvanyam prakritim vidhime param. There, Abhara Prakriti includes the 5 material elements, mind, intelligence and false ego. So what about Jiva then? There Jiva is addressed as Para Prakriti, not as Abhara Prakriti. So if Jiva is Para Prakriti, he has to have all the qualities of Paramatma. Cannot be different from that. Isn't it? So that is why Paramatma and Jivatma in qualities is always the same. But because when it is like comparison is giving to show to us, as Jivatma, when he is reflecting in the chittam, in the subtle body, naturally the vasanas have an influence and it is for the Jivatma rebirth. It's not for Paramatma that is rebirth. It is for the Jivatma, birth, death, old age and disease is experienced by the Jivatma. And whatever Krishna has spoken in that 2nd chapter, here again, prakriti vikriti bhinnam shuddha bodha svabhavam. Shuddha bodha svabhavam. Krishna is separate from prakriti. Why? He gives his pure consciousness. Bodha svabhavam. Sadas adhidam ashesham bhavayan nirvishesham. And its nature is pure knowledge. Earlier we have seen in the Bhagavatam also, the nature, Krishna's if you want to explain Krishna, Krishna is pure knowledge, isn't it? Pure knowledge is Krishna. You remember? Vadandita tattvaidam tattvam yat jnanam advayam. Advaya jnanam is Krishna. And absolute. And sadas aditam ashesham bhavayan nirvishesham. Directly manifest the, and he present in the whole creation, all over. And vilasadi paramalma. And there, in the jagradadi avastha, jagradadi shavastha. Jagradadi avastha means that in all the three states, jagrad, sopnam, sushupti, in all the three states, soham aham idi sakshal sakshi rupena buddhe. So, jivalpa's presence is only in the jagrat and sopnam. When it goes to sushupti, what happens there? The so-called jivalpa, whom we call it as the ego, which is the jivalpa, he disappears there. Is it not? So that is why the experience of that deep sleep state is important, because you can see that as you transcend all the three states, who exists then? Only Paramatma exists in the Turiyam state. Jivalpa doesn't exist there. In fact, Jivalpa's situation even in the deep sleep state is questionable, because there Jivalpa has nothing to function. He dissolves somewhere. And the Shastram says Jivalpa joins Paramatma at that time in the deep sleep state. That is why he does not experience any misery. Jivalpa doesn't exist at that time. So, swaham aham idi sakshal sakshi rupena buddhehe. So, but he is present, Paramatma is present there as sakshi in all the three states that you can see. When he wakes up in the morning after the deep sleep, he is still saying that it was a nice time in the deep sleep. So therefore, as a sakshi or a witness, he existed in the deep sleep. And Krishna is saying here, Ubadrashta Anumanda. That means he is a Ubadrashta in the wakened state and the dream state. So in all the three states, he is Ubadrashta. He is Ubadrashta. So that is that speciality of this Drashta. Drashta means the seer. The speciality of this seer is Ubadrashta. That is why that word Ubadrashta was used. Because he is Ubadrashta, in the wakened state, in the dream state, as well as in the deep sleep, he is a seer. He is the witness. Remember that Upanishad verse which you have seen before, we discussed in the Bhagavadam, that the two birds sitting on the tree, that who is a witness to all our activities, is it not? And that same thing Krishna is bringing it here. That Upanishad's words in the Bhagavadam, if you remember, in the Ekadasha Skandam, if you look, Krishna says it's in the 10th chapter, I think. In the 10th chapter. Suvarna Vedau Sadrashau Sakhayau Yadrachayetau Kritamidau Javrakshe. You should connect these words with these two verses in the Bhagavadam. Then you will know very clearly what it is indicating. Suparna Vedo Sadrashau Sakhayo Yadrachayedo Kritani Dauja Vrakshe Egastayu Khadadi Pipalanam Anyo Nirano Bibalena Bhuyan Altmanamanyam Sajaveda Vidwan Nabipalado Nadu Bipalada Yo Avidyaya Yuk Sadu Nitya Baddho Vidyamayo Yasadu Nitya Muktaham. In that tree, two birds are sitting. Two birds are sitting on the tree. One bird doesn't eat any of the fruits. He just sits on one branch and he sits there. He doesn't want to taste any fruit. The other bird, they are both of the same color. Both birds are of the same color. But one bird finds the fruit. One fruit is started eating in one of the branches. It jumped into one branch, ate one fruit. When it ate the fruit, it found the fruit was very sweet, and immediately it jumped from that branch to another branch and tasted another fruit. Likewise, it kept on jumping from one branch to another and kept ate many fruits. But the result was that when it kept on eating the fruits, its color started fading. The original color, both was Rukmavarnam. Rukmavarnam means golden color. what it meant was, Rukmavarnam, what it actually indicating it is, both of them had full knowledge of who they are. Both Jiva and Paramatma, both of them had full knowledge who they are. But when it started tasting the material life, enjoying the material life, material nature, its color started fading. That means avidya got inside. Ajnanam, avidya has come inside. When avidya comes inside, its color started fading. It became darker, in other words. But while in the process of eating the fruits, suddenly it has bitten bitter fruit. When it ate the bitter fruit, it started looking up towards the Paramatma. Our story, Krishna is talking about. It started looking up to Paramatma. And Paramatma, he saw Paramatma, nothing has changed. He is not eating, enjoying anything. He is not eating any fruits. Rather, he is sitting there exactly like the way before, as a witness to everything. So, after going through these experiences for many, many lifetimes, this other Jivalma bird, it started realizing that because of eating the fruits, I have got into this situation. And he started thinking of going back to that other bird, where it came from. Originally, there was only one bird. It has become two birds later. So, this same concept, what is spoken in the Srimad Bhagavatam in this 10th chapter, Almanamanyam chasaveda vidwan na vipalado na dubipaladaham yo avidyaya yuksadanitya buddho vidyamayo yasadanitya mukta. What is the difference between the two birds? One, because of avidya. Yo avidyaya, because of avidya, it's always feeling I am internally in bondage. Nitya buddha. Yo avidya yuksadu nitya buddha. And the other one, the other bird, which is only a witness to everything, vidyamayam, always in knowledge. Therefore, sa yasadu nitya mukta, always in the liberated state. So, in explaining this in the Upanishads as well as in the Bhagavad Gita, what we have to remember is that they are not different, these two birds are not different. Differences happened only due to avidya. One bird has got avidya, and once the avidya has gone, this bird is not different from the other bird. This is the proper way to understand. Otherwise, it will all cause complications if you start changing this principle. That this bird and the other bird, otherwise it will become against the Upanishads, and that's not acceptable. Upanishad's theory is this, that Upanishad is saying to us, the rishis are saying to us, Nama Paramakrishibhyo Nama, Paramarishis are saying to us, that birds are not different in quality. They are exactly the same. But what is the difference? That is why it's mentioned in that nerd. One, because of avidya, nitya baddham. The other one, because of vidya, nitya muktam. One is eternally liberated because of knowledge. The other one is eternally conditioned because of the ajnanam, avidya inside. So, here, that different, when once that avidya has gone, and vidya is there, then he is no different than the Paramatma in everything, isn't it? So, vilasati Paramatma. Paramatma is, he says, vilasati Paramatma. Paramatma is shining in this form, how jagradadishu avastasu, in jagrad sapnam sushutti, in all the three states, aham aham iti sakshal, aham aham iti sakshal, aham aham, I am, and in that experience, that is what our experience is, isn't it? Sakshi Rubal, Bhadi Sakshi. What is Sakshi of what? Witness of what? Witness of these three states. Which one? Jagrat, Swapnam and Sushupti. For these three states, he is the Sakshi. And also Sushupti Avastha. Jagrat and Swapna, vacant state and the dream state, you can accept that. It's not difficult. But in the Sushupti state also, the same thing is happening. In the Sushupti state also, the same thing happening. Why? Because that it is he, when he comes back, he says, I slept well. That is not coming from the Jiva. That's not coming from the Jiva, that I had slept well. That is the proof of that, that he was a witness even in the deep sleep. Till we realize these things, it will remain, you have to accept it. There is no other way. It is the great, great Acharya's conclusions. This is, it's there. Those who have realized, they have spoken to us this. If we had no one who had realized all these things, then this Bhagavad Gita would have no meaning. Is it not? Because we have got people who have realized it, and they found that what Krishna has spoken is true. And the strength of their words, that we are accepting this. Suppose there was no one who hasn't experienced this, it will remain simply as a mystery to us, even today. Is it not? But because there were so many great personalities, great Mahatmas, Jnanis, Yogis and devotees, who have realized this, that whatever Krishna has spoken here, Upadrashta, Anumanda, Bhartha, Bhokta, Maheshwara, and Paramatmeni Chapyukto, Deheswin Purushapara. Krishna made a statement like that. How do you verify this? The only way you can verify is from the words of the realized souls. That's the only way. There's no other way. Till we realize, you have to accept it that way. You have to accept it that way. So, Sakshi or Paramatma or Andaryami. And in that form, he is experiencing the world. He is experiencing the world. Sakshi Rubena Buddhehim. So that Paramatma himself, as Krishna mentions here as Paramatma, he is Upadrashta, Anumanda, Bhartha, Bhokta, Maheshwara. And Paramatmedi Chapyukto, Dehesmin Purushapara. And in this body, Dehesmin, Krishna uses the word Deham there. We notice that, Deham. Deham. Dehesmin Purushapara. In other words, in this Deham, why, where the Deham was used there? Deham means one, dahyade iti deham. Dahyade means it's going to be burned. That's why it's called a deham. One day it's going to be burned. Therefore, dahyade iti deham. Shiryade iti shariram. Shariram means which will degenerate. It cannot stay as it is. It has to change. Shiryade, that means it will degenerate. Therefore, it's called a shariram. Some places Krishna will use the word shariram. Some places Krishna uses the word deham. Dehesmin means, deham means, in deham means which is going to be burned one day. And in that deham, Krishna is saying that Krishna is present there as Jivalma. And in that body, in that gross body, he is present as Jivalma, as Jiva. Just like the example given is the snake and the rope. Snake and the rope. Like you are seeing in the rope a snake. And if you bring the light and look at it, there is no snake there, there is only rope. Similarly, after reflection and taking the instructions from Bhagavad Gita seriously, and when you start performing your inquiry of the self, you'll find that there is no jiva there, only Krishna is there. Till we have self-realization, jivalma exists. When self-realization happens, jivalma cannot exist after that. Because you have realized what you are. Till jivalma status is only till you realize the self. After that, so up to that time, upadrashta anumanta. Only when you are remaining as a jivalma, as a jiva state, this upadrashta and anumanta exist. Is it not? Because you can see what Paramatma does. Paramatma's job is to looking after this Jivalma, giving permission to Jivalma what he wants. If Jivalma wants to steal, Paramatma has to give you permission for that. He says, okay, go and steal. Or if he wants to do something else, he gives you the permission. This is his business. Paramatma's business is to allow you to do what you want. So all that is done by Jivalma. But the moment Jivalma gets released from these modes of nature, which is all these activities what we do, and when he becomes as in everything in relationship with Paramatma, as good as him as he is, then he has no more function as Paramatma. There is only one Atma who exists inside. That is the situation then. So, and he is not a Sakshi anymore. Because Sakshi is when you are a Jivalma, you need the looking after, giving permission and allowing all your vasanas to get through this body. So his attitude is, do whatever you want to do. That's why he's called a Sakshi. Do whatever you like. You want to go and you want to thieve something? Go shoplift something? Do it, he says. If you want to do that. And if you want to do some money laundering, do that, he says. I'm with you. I am with you, he's saying. Because, and if you want to do something good, also he is with you. He says, I am with you. So that is why that word, Upadrashta Anumanta, is very important, because all this is included in that. That when you want to do some kind of naughty things, he is still there as a witness, and he gives you permission also. He is so good. Whatever nonsense you want to do, he says, he gives you permission, and he tells you, I am with you. I am with you. Go and do it. I'll give you all the support what you need. And Jiva, because of the modes of nature and because of the vasana and because he is in avidya, he forgets about the witness who is observing this and goes and does things. Various kinds of things. Good or sometimes good things, but mostly bad things. Isn't it? So that is what that Upadrashta Anumanda is so important. So Upadrashta Anumanda. So Krishna says here, and both, he says, Purusha Paraha. In this body. Because in this body, Krishna is hiding. Remember in the Kathamanishad that statement, that he also says there, the purpose of this body, the only benefit of this body, is finding out that Paramatma inside. There is nothing else you can get from this body. This is the conclusion. You can't get anything out of this body. Only thing what you can do about this body is finding out that Paramatma who is inside us, Asandaryami, inside us. So realizing him, that's the only benefit you can get from this body. There's nothing else you can get from this body. This is the conclusion. So, so just like when you eat a fruit, a banana, once you've eaten the banana, what do? You throw the skin away, isn't it? The same way, the body. After you have realized yourself, throw it away and go from here. From here. So similarly, one who has enjoyed the inside fruit, what you have tasted and enjoyed that, by then the skin has been peeled off, and similarly the body gets peeled off. Once you have realized the self, once you have realized the self, the body gets peeled off, then you can't feel any, all you can do is to throw it away. All you can do is to throw it away. So afterwards, there is no more identification with the skin of this fruit, the skin, or that means with the body. You remember we mentioned this before also, that there is a kind of fruit, a kind of sweet they make, modagam they call it, with the sweetness is inside and outside is flour. Outside is flour, inside is sweet. So what happens is, the children when it is offered, they only take that sweet part of it. Although it is made completely with the sweetness inside, just like they use jaggery and coconut, honey and so many other things to make it very sweet inside. So children are not fond of the outside part, the flower side of it. So what they'll do when it is off, but it is made together all together. Older people like both, but the children don't like the outside, they want the sweet side of it. So when it's offered and given to them, they'll take it away somewhere else and hiding. And they'll remove the outside part, throw it away and take only the inside one. Jnanis are like that. The realized personalities are like that. Because they do not see any purpose of this body anymore. Once they've got the self-inquiry is complete with them. So their attention, like the children has got their attention in the that vastu inside, the sweet is called Purnam. It's called Purnam. Purnam is the word they use for that. That Purnam, that's where their attention is. Children's attention is in the Purnam. Purnam means that sweet part inside that sweet. Their attention is there. So similarly, realized souls also, their Shraddha, their attention is in the vastu inside, that Purnam. Which one? The Atma inside. So nobody will eat only the outside part, the flower. You will eat everything, but children only will eat the inside one.
They'll throw the outside one out. Similarly, because all the taste is in the Purnam, vastu inside. And what is happening is that when you are eating that sweet part with the external part inside, the flower, what is outside, actually the flower reduces the taste of that Purnam inside, the sweet thing inside. In Maharashtra, they offer it for Ganesh Chaturthi. It's famous that. And in other states also, they all, everywhere you see this sweet, they make like that. Apparently Ganesh is very fond of that sweet. That's what I understand. So the sweet inside is very sweet and outside is flour. And that flour has, when you mix that with the sweet, it loses its taste. It's not as tasty as the, it's pure taste of that sweet inside. Similarly, this body, when you have the body, you don't experience the sweetness of that soul inside, Paramatma inside. What you are actually having now is only a mixed effect of the body and the soul at the moment, isn't it? Similarly, through this body, what you are actually experiencing is the Paramatma inside. What you are actually experiencing in this world through this body is Paramatma, and it is Paramatma that is actually seeing, and Paramatma is hearing. Everything is Paramatma's experience. It is Paramatma's experience. Why? If Paramatma is not there, all these activities won't happen, would it? Hearing, touching, smelling, tasting, seeing, all the five senses cannot function if Paramatma is not there inside. So if you decide this, if this realization happens to someone, then little by little he will start experiencing that effect of samadhi. That is Antaryami realization, what Krishna is talking about, that the experience of Paramatma inside, when you are experiencing through the senses anything in this world, if step by step, if we start realizing that this experience what I have in this world is due to Paramatma, then naturally you are actually recognizing the presence of Paramatma inside, is it not? So that is why Krishna says here that Paramatma idi chapitto dehesmin purusha para. That purusha is para. Purusha is para. Dehesmin purusha para. So first thing is that you have to see that purusha para inside. Purusha para inside. That is the first step. When we keep talking about this is Brahman, that is Brahman, everything is Brahman, by talking about with the mouth, it's no use. No, nothing in the use. Or talking, it is only just a sound, but it won't become Brahman. It won't become Brahman. The first thing is, that is why we say always, without self-realization, you cannot see Krishna's presence in everything else. That's not possible. First, realize Krishna within. After that, you realize Krishna elsewhere. So, if you remember that a devotee state, when we say, always you will see people, while they discuss Bhagavad Gita, they'll say, you have to see Krishna everywhere. You have to see Krishna present in everyone. But that is not possible. Why? Because even if you look at that verse, sarva, sarva bhudeshu ya pashyed bhagavad bhavam almana bhudani bhagavat yasha savai bhagavadottama. Krishna's Hari Maharshi says there, isn't it? There, sarva bhudeshu ya pashyed bhavam will not happen first. Prior to that, you have to recognize this aspect of Paramatma inside us. Only after that, sarva bhudeshu ya pashyed will happen. So this is the requirement, this is the process how it works out. Saying to everyone that, oh, this is, he is Brahman, somebody else is Brahman, everywhere else Krishna is present there, that will not work, it's not going to happen. That is a very important thing, that before that happens, we have to realize ourselves inside, it is Krishna's presence there. Krishna's presence there. So internally, one who has experienced and completely, then for him, when he, even if you give him that sweet modagam to him, he will only look at that Purnam inside. He will only look at the Purnam inside. Even if he sees that white thing outside, the flower outside, he will only remember the taste of that sweet inside. Taste of the sweet inside. Because he knows the Purnam well. It is the best comparison you can think of between the self and the body. This sweet Modagam. There is a sweet inside and the flower outside. The body is outside, the sweetness is inside in the self. When you have experienced that self, only then you will know that this has no taste. Which one? The body. Body has no taste. So one who has not experienced that Purnam inside, for him, flower which is outside, he will find that it is worthwhile enjoying that. It's worthwhile enjoying that. He cannot see the Purnam inside. That means, normally we are talking about people, conditioned soul. Those who have no taste of that Paramatma inside, he will continue to find happiness, look for happiness in the body. So that Purnam, what is inside, that is what, you see, from that Modagam, that word Purnam is there. Same thing has come to Ishopanishad also. Om Purnamadam Purnamidam Purnal Purnamudachyade Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyade. So that Purnam word has come to the sweet from the Ishopanishad. It has taken that. So that's the way it has happened. That the nature of the self is always Purnam. And Purnam means it is something which is perfect and which is what is desired to have. So here that Purnam is present inside us as Upadrashta, Anumanta, Bharta, Bhokta, Maheshwara. All the three things what Krishna has spoken in that word. Upadrashta, Anumanta, Bharta, Bhokta, Maheshwara. Five things that are spoken there. So and in this way, Jiva is present inside, isn't it? Jiva Rubena Bhadi. In other words, Paramatma is present inside as Jiva Rubam. Jiva Rubena Bhadi. Jiva exists because of Paramatma. Otherwise, Jiva cannot exist. Jiva, presence of Jiva is also due to Paramatma. And that Paramatma addressed here as Bodham. Awareness, isn't it? Bodha Rubena Bhadi. And it is the same Jiva that is the cause of the presence of Prakriti also. Which means that due to the presence of Paramatma, Jiva is existing. Because it's Paramatma himself is present in the form of Jiva. Due to contact with the matter, he is Jiva now. He is Jiva. He is in the form, ahangaram, false ego. He is. That's what Jiva is. So Paramatma has come as Jiva form, and due to the presence of Paramatma only, our Prakriti also functions, which means body, mind, intelligence, ego, everything. So material nature, Prakriti is also functioning because of the presence of Paramatma. Prakriti is functioning due to Paramatma. Jiva is functioning due to Paramatma. One who knows these three things together, then Krishna is saying that even in the Vyavaharam means even while doing transactions in this world, Vyavaharam happens due to Prarabdham. That also you have to know. That due to Prarabdham, he may be busy with so many various activities in this world. That is called Vyavaharam. Even if he gets involved in the Vyavaharam in various ways, he will not get bound in anything. That is Krishna's statement. So, Paramatma, in this verse, Krishna is saying, Upadrashta Anumanta Bhartha Bhokta Maheshwara Paramatma Vidija Pyukto Dehesvin Purushapara. That verse says, He is Upadrashta, talking about Krishna himself. Krishna is talking about Kshetrajna now, you have to remember that. He is Upadrashta, he is Anumanda. He is Bharta, he is Bhokta, he is Maheshwara. Five things he has said there. Then he is saying, he is also Paramalpa. He is also Paramalpa. And Paramalpedi cha pyukto dehesmin purushapara. But inside the body, he, because of his presence, two things are happening. One, Paramalpa is present there as Jivalpa, executing all his desires and fulfilling all his prarabdha karma. That is all Jiva's duty. And he is the witness and he is the person who sanctions everything from inside. Simultaneously, when the body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, everything has to function, which is in the prakriti, Krishna is responsible for that as well. So imagine, look at yourself and see what an amount of responsibility that Paramatma is carrying inside. Now you can see why so much importance is given to Paramatma. But what you have to remember is, this Paramatma status is over as soon as the Jivalpa is finished with its activities. Only when Jivalpa is busy with the activities of this world, he is Upadrashta and Anumanta. When he is not acting in this world in a particular way, based on his karma vasana or prarabdham, whatever that is, when he is released from that, he is not anymore remaining there as a Jivalpa, he has got released from that state. And therefore, even if some vyavaharam happens in this world based on his prarabdham, he will not be bound by that. He will not be bound by that. And that is the next verse. Ya evam veti purusham prakritim cha gunai saham sarvatha vartamanobi nasabhuyo bijayate. Ya evam veti purusham prakritim cha gunai saham sarvadha vartamano bhi nasabhuyo bijayate. Ya evam veti purusham prakritim cha gunai saha sarvadha vartamano bhi nasabhuyo bijayate. Nasabhuyo bijayate. So here, one who understands this philosophy concerning material nature, the living entity, and the interaction of the modes of nature, is sure to attain liberation. He will not take birth here again, regardless of his present position. Regardless of his present position. So, in the last verse, we have seen there that Upadrashta Anumanta cha Bhartha Bhokta Maheshwara, that this word Upadrashta is used more in Karmakandam. Karmakandam it is used more. Because normally when sacrifices are performed, like big sacrifices, Rajasvayam, Adhiratram, Agnishtomam, Vajapayam, there are a number of them listed in the Yajnam or Yagam. In there, they have four people who are executing the Yagam. Hritvika, Brahman, Adhuryu, Udghadav. Four different names. They have four different functions also. Big sacrifices. Not all the ordinary what we do with our general fire sacrifices. Not that. The proper sacrifices when it's done. There is four people sitting on four sides of the fire sacrifice. And the person who is actually conducting the sacrifice is called Yajamanan. Yajamanan. So, this Yajamanan has nothing to do. He has to sit there, he has to be present there because he is the one who has organized it. But others are performing the sacrifice, and all the karmam that is performed, which will last for months and sometimes months together, he as a witness, he has to sit there. But he will observe everything. He'll observe everything. He knows everything, how it has to be done.
Yajaman and that is called. And generally they are coming from a background who have conducted hundreds and thousands of sacrifices for many, many generations' time. If you look into the web sites, you will see about some sacrifices. Agnihotram, if you look, if you Google for Agnihotram, or you will see, or Samsvamayagam, you will see they'll mention there who is the Yajamanan there. And that person, if you look for, read about his background, you will see that he comes from a family or who have performed so many sacrifices in so many generations, they have done that. So that will be their background, which means that he will be flawless. If he makes any fault, the whole thing will collapse, will not work. So everything to the minute detail, he is the one who has the complete, to the minute detail, he observes everything what is done. When they are chanting the mantras, all the four of them who are sitting around, when they chant the mantras, when they make the offering into the fire, the purity of the ingredients, and so many other preparations associated with that, he has to be completely involved and he supervises everything. And he is called Upadrashta. It is that word Krishna has brought here because how minutely he observes everything. In the same way, Paramatma inside us does exactly the same job. What we are doing through this body is various activities based on our vasanas, based on our crooked mind, and based on our all kinds of ideas, what is building up inside, isn't it? So that is why it says here. So, but that Yajamanan, when he does that, when he observes that, he won't interfere in anything. Because he will expect that they will do it. In, you can't correct it when it's being done. In Yagam, they won't correct anybody. If it is done, if it is a mistake, he will notice it. If there is any mistake, generally mistakes won't happen because the people whom they are selected will be people who had that proper knowledge of the Yagam. But Yajamanan is a witness and he will notice if there is anything, any mistake happens. That means his observation is very, very close. Very close observation. It's the same way Krishna is saying Paramatma inside us. Observes everything very minutely, what we are doing. When we are conscious of his presence, we will act properly. When we are not conscious of his presence, we will act independently. We'll act independently. Independently we start doing things, everything. So that's why it is mentioned Upadrashta. Similarly, the gross body, the eyes, the mind, intelligence, they are all like that. They are also like that. They are just doing things. And in that sense, they are also witnesses only. Most external thing is the gross body. Most external thing is the gross body. From there, you keep going inwards from the body. Then you go inwards towards the mind, then the intelligence, and then the ego, senses, everything there. And innermost part, who observes everything, is this Upadrashta or Anumanda. And because he is most internal in observing things, because he is observing the most internal thing, including the ego and the movement of the mind, intelligence, everything, he is addressed here as Upadrashta. This is that word, Upadrashta is a very special word. Drashta means seer. Upadrashta means a special seer, a special witness. What is that speciality? Speciality is this, that he observes everything to the very minute way, minute level. But he doesn't interfere in anything. It's a very special relationship, isn't it? Upadrashta, that is one thing. And when sacrifice is performed, yajna upadrashtavad va sarva vishayi karanad upadrashta. That is what it is. When yajnam or yagam, when sacrifices are happening, this Yajamanan is looking at everything, what is going on. And he is a witness to everything what is happening there. You can't do anything there not being noticed by him. It is like that, this Paramatma inside. Anumantaja anumodanam anumananam kurvasu tal kriyasu paritoshaha tal karta anumantaja.
Now, what is the next word? If what Krishna has used there, Ubadrashta, and the next one is Anumanta. Anumanta means that when you are engaged in any kind of activity, when you are engaged in any kind of activity, then one who performs Anumodanam. Anumodanam means that he is happy to go with you in what you are doing. Have you seen anybody like this? So that is why Krishna is saying, I am your best friend. He will do whatever you want to do, you can do. I'll go along with it. That's why he... Go along with it means that he'll give you the sanction, you can do. As I said, even if you want to rob a bank, or even if you want to kill someone, Krishna says, I am with you, go, do it. That is his Krishna's nature. Anumanta, that's what the word Anumanta means. Anything, good or bad, whatever you want to do, he gives you sanction that, isn't it? Otherwise, how could you do it? You want to kill someone, Krishna says, I am with you, do it. Want to do it. You want to rob a bank, do it, I am with you. He allows you, otherwise you couldn't do it. This is the important thing. That is why Krishna is saying, I am with you. Because he is allowing you to do it. Without his sanction, you can't do it. That's why these words are very important. Anumanta is not an ordinary word. Suppose I'm going to kill someone and one of my friends tells me, no, don't do it. Then he is not with me, is he? He is telling me what he thinks is right, because either he is saying that you will be caught by the police or something is going to happen. But this friend, Krishna, is so good. He says, whatever you want to do, do it. I am with you. Anumanta. And you can see that if Krishna is not there, you can't do it. Can you? Because the body won't function. Jiva can't work. False ego won't work. Mind won't work. Intelligence won't work. Nothing will work. So he is giving you sanction for anything and everything, whatever you do. Therefore, he is Anumanta. Athava, Anumanta karya karana pravrtishu swayam apravrtaha abhi pravrta iva tad anugulo vibhavyade tena Anumanta. In other words, even though he is not involved in your karma, say for example, I'm going to kill someone. Krishna is not involved in that, I am doing it. But he is able to support me in my action, isn't it? That is that nature of Anumantam. Anumantam karyakarana pravrtishu swayam apravrtaha. On his own he is apravrta, he is not involved. But abhi pravrtaha ivata anugulo vibhavyade tena Anumanta. But he is favorable. He is favorable. That shows he is favorable, isn't it? Do you see that difference? That he is not putting a block against your thought. Suppose when you think of doing something wrong and Krishna comes in the middle, don't do it. Then he is not Anumanta then. But Krishna is Anumanta because he says, whatever you want to do, go ahead and do it. I'll give you all the energy what you need, all the brain what you require, all the intelligence what you need, and all the energy what you need. Everything I'll provide you in your body. Therefore, he is Anumanta. He is not an advisor. Don't take him as an advisor. What he is doing is, according to your vasana, you will act. According to your prarabdham, you will act in this world. Krishna is saying, I won't put any block in that prarabdham or in your vasana. Act, go ahead and act. That is Anumanta. Athava, pravrtan so vyapareshu tal sakshihi bhutaha kadachit apida nivaredi idi Anumanta. Because in order to act, you require the help of the body, the mind, intelligence, the senses and everything. If he wants to stop it, he can stop them. Can he not? Not give the energy for the senses to work, or to the body, or to the mind, but he doesn't interfere. Instead, he remains as a witness, and he, on the one side, he remains as a witness, on the other side, he gives you the freedom to go and do what you want to do. Therefore, he is Anumanta. These words are very important, Ubadrashta and Anumanta. They are not simply, oh, Krishna will do anything, whatever. No, with a certain way it operates, Anumanta. Ubadrashta also, in the same way. He is a witness, but witness of what? Witness of everything what you do.
Not only a now, right now he's a witness. He's a witness of everything what you have done in the past. He's a witness of everything what you are doing now. He also knows everything what you are going to do in the future. According to your prarabdham, what is going to come. Bartha bharanam nama dehendriya manobuddhi nam samhadanam chaitanya alma prarthena nimitta bhudena chaitanya abhasanam yat swarubhadharanam. It chaitanya almakritam eva idi bartha alma idi uchade.
One side, body, mind, and intelligence, these three things are separate from the Atma, are separate from the Atma. But at the same time, Atma's splendor is present in all the three, in the body, mind and the intelligence, isn't it? Atma's effect on the body, Atma's effect on the mind, Atma's effect on the intelligence, you cannot deny. You cannot deny. Because it's only due to the presence of Atma, mind is functioning, body is functioning, intelligence is functioning. Isn't it? And because Atma is reflecting in the body, Atma is reflecting in the mind, Atma is reflecting in the intelligence, he is called Bartha. See that word Bartha there? Bartha means a lot. Bartha generally means controller. Husband is called Bartha and wife is called control, Bharya. Isn't it? But here in this paragraph, sorry, in this verse, Krishna is saying that Bartha Bharanam Nama Deham Indriyam Manasa Buddhi. That means body, mind, senses, mind and intelligence. In all these aspects of us, which means body, mind, intelligence, senses, in everywhere, Krishna is reflecting all the time. Is it not? If Krishna is not reflecting, reflecting means Krishna's influence is there in my body, in your body. Krishna's influence is there in my mind, in your mind, in my intelligence, in my ego, in your ego. In everywhere, in senses, all. Krishna's influence is there. Whose influence? That Paramatma, what Krishna mentions here is that Paramatma Purusha Para. There has been Purusha Para. Paramatma Edijapi Ukto. See, normally what happens is, when we say this Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan, we come into some kind of imagination in our mind. Paramatma is like this, Brahman is like this, and Bhagavan is like that. So three different personalities we create from Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. Or if we do not understand these two, which one, Brahman and Paramatma, we say only Bhagavan. Bhagavan. And Bhagavan for us is the deity in the temple. This is how our mind dictates from inside, isn't it? Because mind cannot capture anything more than that. This is the limitation of the mind. Mind cannot understand what Brahman. Mind cannot understand what Paramatma is. Mind can understand Bhagavan in the form of deity. This is the limitation of the mind. Same thing with intelligence also. We may discuss all these things. That's why Krishna mentioned before also that this Paramatma, when we hear about word Paramatma, what do we understand from that? This is how you have to understand Paramatma. Upadrashta Nimandha Cham Bartha Bhokta Maheshwara Paramatmedi Chapyukto Dehesmin Purushaparaha. That is how Paramatma you have to understand. You shouldn't think Paramatma. And then we start saying, oh, devotees we see Bhagavan, and the yogis they see the Paramatma, and the jnanis they see the Brahman. So three different ways. We have put everywhere, we have separated everything, and the other two we don't want to know about it. Because we are devotees. This is not how you study Bhagavad Gita. If you study Bhagavad Gita like this, hardly 5% will go inside, 95% will remain outside. 95%, Krishna is one. Paramatma, Bhagavan, Brahman is all one thing. That is why in that verse, what it says, Vadandi tattva vidam tattvam yajnanam advayam Brahmedi, Paramatmedi, Bhagavanidi, Shabdyade, it says. Shabdyade. These are only words. Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan are all words. Nothing more than that. So, Vastu is one. That Vastu, one Vastu, addressed as Bhagavan by the devotees, Paramatma as the yogis, Brahman by the jnanis, maybe in addressing difference, but in you have to look at the actions of that. what Paramatma does in us. Is it not? That's more important. What's that? That's more important. Krishna spoke about Brahman earlier, isn't it? Sarvada Panibadam Dal, Sarvadokshishiromaham, Sarvada Shudimal Loge, Sarvam Avrityatishtadi. A lot of explanation Krishna gave from the Brahman side. Now, from Paramatma side, Krishna earlier spoke, Aham Atma Gudagesha Sarva Bhudashe Astida, Aham Adhyanja Madhyanja Bhudanam Antamevacha in the 10th chapter. So, in various places, when Krishna is presenting himself as Brahman, himself as Paramatma, himself as Bhagavan, we have to understand Krishna in that way. In different ways, Krishna is presenting, everything is Krishna. Everything is Krishna. So here you can see that Krishna, whom we address as Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan, he is also present in the body. Is it not? In the body, mind, intelligence, senses, ego, everywhere he is present. What is the proof? Because if he is not there, it won't work. That's the proof. You can't get a better proof than that. Is it not? So that's why it said, Bartha Bharanam Nama Dehendriya Manobuddhi Nam Samhananam Chaidanyatma Pararthena Nimitta Bodhena. That means this Prabha or this illumination from Paramatma, due to whose presence, although he is separate from the mind, body, intelligence, ego, senses, everything, due to his presence, it is reflected in everything. It is his reflection that is working all these things. In a similar way, just like it is operating through the gross body, it's operating through the mind, operating through the intelligence, operating through the ego. Another aspect of that Paramatma, which is reflecting in our subtle body, is Jiva. See how that happens? When we all admit this one thing, this body is dead matter, if there is no reflection of Paramatma in this body, isn't it? Paramatma's presence is known because this body is able to move, body is able to do various things. It's able to eat food and digest it. It's able to, blood circulates through the body. It's able to breathe. All these activities are happening in the body without our knowledge. All due to the presence of what? Presence of Paramatma inside. So that shows that Paramatma is reflecting in the body due to these activities that's happening in the body. Equally, the mind is functioning due to the presence of Paramatma. Only due to the presence of Paramatma, these thought waves are coming one after the other and continuously moving through the mind, which we call as the mind. Mind is nothing but thought waves. Similarly, only due to the presence of, that shows that Paramatma is reflecting in the mind. Similarly, only due to the presence of the Paramatma that we have this capacity of intelligence, able to make decisions, isn't it? From various options, you make a decision finally. And that Nishayatmiya Buddhi, which is called intelligence, is again carried out by who? Paramatma. Paramatma's presence in the Buddhi is reflecting there. Equally, all the senses when we are enjoying, through the sense enjoyment, whatever happiness what you derive from there is also due to the presence of Paramatma. In other words, in senses also, Paramatma is reflecting. Now, just like Paramatma is reflecting in the body, mind, intelligence and ego, when he is reflecting in the subtle body, where it comes into contact with its vasanas and the ego, when these two things, in ahankaram, when it is reflecting, it is called jiva. When Paramatma reflects in the false ego, it is called jiva. This is the explanation to that. So, bhokta, that is about bharta now. Now the last one, next one is bhokta. Bhokta atyushnava nitya chaitanya surubena buddhehi sukha dukha mohalmagaha pratyaha sarva vishayaha chaitanya atmagrastaha iva jayamana vibhakta vibhavyande idi bhokta atma uchyate. Now, when you are experiencing happiness and distress in this world, through our mind, when you experience the happiness and distress and various experiences what you have in this world, sometimes you are feeling good, sometimes not so good, sometimes depressed, in all these states, where is that experience coming from? Is due to, again, due to the presence of Paramatma inside. It is from the Paramatma spreads into all these things, into the mind, into the body, and based on, like we discussed yesterday, according to the happiness and distress, in reality they don't exist, isn't it? Why do we experience that? Because of the presence of the mind. In the realized state, they don't exist, happiness and distress, because at that state they know very well that if I accept happiness, I have to accept distress also. If you do not accept happiness, you don't have to accept distress either. This is that verse we discussed before when we talked about the Karyakarana Kartrutve Hedu Pragati Ruchyate. Remember that verse yesterday talked about? Purusha Sukadukhanam Bhoktrutve Hedu Ruchyate. In that verse, Krishna says that Purusha doesn't have Sukham or Dukham. When the Sukadukham comes, when he gets trapped in the Prakriti. Is it not? So when he gets trapped into Prakriti, what happens at that time? The Jiva experiences Sukham and Dukham. Sukadukham happens, happiness and distress comes. Krishna is saying here, this bhokta means this enjoying nature or suffering nature. That is both bhokta. Bhokta doesn't mean only the enjoyer, the one who is suffering, or the one who is, whoever experiencing the result, he is bhokta. You can be a bhokta of the happiness and bhokta of the distress also. So both happiness and distress, Krishna is saying here, Adrishnavan, in all these, in order to experience that happiness and distress, Krishna has to enter into all these things. And he spreads around and makes you feel happy or distressed. And it appears as though it has come from the objects. Appears as though it has come from the objects, or we appears as though Krishna has given it to us. That's why we blame Krishna when distress comes. This is the reason for that. That we think, you see, so many things although happening inside us, we don't take notice of it. Remember, I mentioned this before also, that we are hearing about death all the time. People are dying and leaving this world. Very known people, close people, they are leaving and dying and going away. After a few months or a year, it's only the memory. And you are still thinking that death is something, it may happen, but it's not frightening you, really. It's not frightening you. Although so many people have dead and gone, you are not frightened still. That's why we are able to continue in this world, isn't it? So this situation, why is it happening? Because that fear, what you are experiencing at the death of somebody, is not coming from the soul. It appears as though it's coming from the consciousness, but on the other hand, it's coming from the mind. It's coming from the mind. Because it's coming from the mind, and the nature of the mind is continuously to change, therefore, it does not have any effect on us. That's why sometimes when you are in spiritual consciousness, you are not afraid of death. Only when you identify with the body, the fear of death comes. This is the reason behind it. Similarly, Krishna is saying here, when you are bhokta, or when you are experiencing the happiness and distress, or all the illusions what we have engaged, in all that illusions, what we are engaged in, that you are experiencing something from there in the form of happiness or distress, or in the form of some kind of illusion that you are experiencing at that time, you appears as though it's all coming from the Chaitanyam or from the living force, and therefore it is called the bhokta. That is why it's called the bhokta, because otherwise these words will contradict the other statement. We always said that asangoyam, asangoyam, asangoyam. That means Atma has no sangam anywhere. Asangoyam, 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 puna puna. Sachidananda rupoham aham evaham avyayam. That is the definition of the soul, of the self. Self is untouched, has no contact, no contact, no contact with anything. And what is its nature? Satta chitta anandam. Sachidananda rupoham aham. Sachidananda rupoham aham evaham avyayam. My nature is Sachidanandam. Now, if it is like that, the question will come, why does Krishna say that he is the bhokta then? In this verse, Krishna is saying, Upadrashta Anumanta Bharta Bhokta Maheshwara. So actually, bhokta is only a feeling of the jiva. It is not coming from Krishna. That has to be explained there, otherwise it will mislead. It will be contradicting the other statement. So it is a bhokta as far as because you are experiencing that bhokta, bhoktrutvam it is called. That bhoktrutvam is due to the presence of Atma behind. Atma itself is not the bhokta. That you have to remember in this verse. This verse is pretty complicated verse that is. Krishna is saying to us in this verse, Upadrashta, Anumandha, Bharta, Bhokta, Maheshwara. Five things in there. Upadrashta we have seen, Anumandha we have seen. Upadrashta is only a witness. Anumandha is one who gives sanctions, your plan. Who plans, sanctions your whatever devious, shoddy dealings, what you want to do, he allows you. Go ahead, do that, he says. So Upadrashta, Anumandha. Then Bharta, Bhakta means that he permeates into the mind, body, intelligence and senses, and due to his because he has permeated into these things are able to function. Which one? Body, mind, intelligence. And therefore is called Bharta. Similarly, when after doing something in this world, some karma, any karma, whatever you have done, when the results come, either you enjoy or you suffer based on the result, isn't it? Now this enjoying and suffering activity also happens because he has permeated into senses and to the activity. He has permeated into that as well. And that is why. But when the results come, we blame normally Atma. But Atma has nothing to do with the result in that sense. That results is dependent on the vasana and the prarabdham. That is what brings the result, isn't it? Krishna also mentions this. If you remember it, because when you study Bhagavad Gita, one verse should not contradict another verse. You have to be very careful about that. Otherwise what will happen is, it will remain as a conflict in the mind for the rest of the life. That you have to be very careful, because in another place Krishna is saying there, Na karma bhalasam yogam svabhavastu pravartade. You have to see the agreement between two verses. If you do not connect two verses together, you will start thinking, there Krishna has said like this, here Krishna is saying something different. So here, that aspect is bhokta. So when Krishna says he is bhokta, you have to remember Krishna is not actually the bhokta. We ourselves are the bhokta. But the power of that bhokta to enjoy or to suffer is coming from Krishna. If Krishna is not there, we won't suffer. If Krishna is not there, we won't enjoy either. All this is happening centered around that Paramatma inside. That is why it is spoken in that way. So, Upadrashta, Anumandha, Bharta, Bhokta, Maheshwara. Maheshwara, Sarvatmatvat, Sudandratvat, Mahan, Ishwaracha, Iti Maheshwaraha. While studying Bhagavad Gita, it is important, many things what Krishna has spoken before, you should not think that, oh, I have studied all that before, that's finished there now. Now, this is another chapter I'm starting, it's completely new thing. That's how we normally study books, isn't it? But you shouldn't study Bhagavad Gita in that way. Every time when you read a new verse, you should remember what that verse says, is that in conformity, in agreement with what previously Krishna has spoken. Only then you will filter out the truth from that. Otherwise you won't get to know the truth. It will remain like a full topic for discussion only. It won't mean anything. That is the most important thing. Because in Karma Yogam chapter, Krishna has spoken many things about karmam, karma phalam, and how karma functions through one body, one Krishna. And also in other place, there Krishna has spoken about karma and karma phalam. In the jnana chapters, in the knowledge chapters related to knowledge, Krishna has spoken about the false ego and how the false ego operates. Now Krishna is saying, as Purusha present inside a body, how it reflects in the different elements in the body, in the mind, body, intelligence and senses and everything. So when you see this, you have to make sure that one does not contradict the other. Because if it contradicts, then it will become a conflict inside. It will be confusion for the rest of the life. And that's no good. That's no good. So that is why Maheshwara Sarvalpatvan Sutandratvancha Mahan Ishwaraja Iti Maheshwara. That why he is called Maheshwara? Because of this. That Sarvalpatvan Sutandratvad. By all means, he is completely independent. Isn't it? By all means, he is completely independent. But at the same time, he is a complete controller of everything. This is that special feature of Krishna. That's why he is called Maheshwara. By all means, he is completely independent. You can see that. He does not get involved in our actions. He does not involve in any of our plans in any way. Gives you all the freedom to do what you want. And in every way, he remains independent. But at the same time, he is completely in control of the situation. That is why he's called Maheshwara. That's why he's called Maheshwara. Then, Paramatma, next one. Paramatma, Dehadinam, Buddhyandhanam, Pratyagatmatvena Kalpidanam, Avidyaya, Parama, Ubadrashtatvadi Lakshanam, Atma, Iti Paramatma. In other words, so, right from the body, right up to the intelligence, which is the most subtle thing, isn't it? Out of excluding the soul, we have the gross body, the mind. If you remember, Indriyani Pararahu, Indriyebhya Parammana, Manasastu Parabuddhi. So, body, mind, and the intelligence. And present in all these three is this Antaratma, Atma. So, due to all these three things are operating. Which one? Body, mind and intelligence are operating. Paramatma, Dehadina, Buddhi, Andhana, Pratyagalpatvena, Kalpidanam. When these three things are operating, this Paramatma is addressed as Pratyagalpa. It's called as Pratyagalpa. You remember this word Pratyagalpa? Earlier we have seen in the prayers of Vasudev, Devaki and all, this word will come, Pratyagalpa. And another, as I mentioned before, substance is one, but it is addressed in different ways. Addressed in different, like Nyapti and Pratyagalpa. These are all different words referring to the same force that's operating within us. So here, Pratyagalpatvena Kalpidanam, when Paramatma, when he is influencing the body, Dehadinam, up to Buddhi, the body, mind and the intelligence, we call him as Pratyagalpa. As Pratyagalpa is present in there, but and he is also a witness, Avidyaya Paramam Ubadrashtatvadi Lakshanam, Atma Idi Paramatma. In other words, our activities through mind, body and the intelligence is avidya. Avidya is what is pushing this body, mind, intelligence to act. Why does body act? Because identification with the body. We identify, I am this body and my karma vasana inside forces me to act through the body. Similarly with the mind and similarly the intelligence. So out of all the, in the subtle body, these three things, body, mind and intelligence, they are always under the influence of avidya. Always under the influence of avidya. Body is under avidya, mind is under avidya, intelligence is under avidya. When you are in a realized state, there is no more thing called mind anymore. There is no such thing called mind in the realized state. When you realize the self, there is no more mind. Why? Because at that point, there is no chittavritti involved anymore. Therefore, once you are released from the chittavritti, there is no activities of the mind. Gross body may tend to act due to prarabdham. It may tend to act. Due to prarabdham, it may tend to act. Intelligence has to function only if the mind is there. Otherwise, intelligence also doesn't have to function. Isn't it? So, these three things, mind, body and intelligence, generally acts under avidya. Under ignorance it acts.
Every activity what we do, if you look at it, you can see this. That is why it's called Pratyagalpa. Pratyagalpa's function. So when Paramatma is acting and directing this mind, body and intelligence, is called Pratyagalpa. That is how it is. So these different designations are used for the same power or same force, but under different conditions. So here, in the Pratyagalpa state, avidyaya paramam upadrashtatvadi lakshanam atma iti paramatma. Now only when it is acting, this when it is acting through body, mind and intelligence, only at that time Paramatma has to act as upadrashta, as a witness, he has to act. But if the mind and body and intelligence has finished its work, then there is no need for upadrashta. Therefore, Paramatma is addressed as upadrashta only when he is witnessing and observing the activities of body, mind, intelligence. Only when they are functioning is upadrashta. Only when body, mind, intelligence is functioning, he is Anumantha. Only when the mind, body, intelligence and senses are functioning, we can witness the presence of Bhartha there. And similarly, he is a bhokta. Not that he is directly a bhokta. Our experience of that bhoktratvam is due to his presence there. Not that he is directly the bhokta. So that verse explains a lot more things than as you when you read that. So what's interesting here is, Krishna is saying here, in that verse if you look, you will see. See how Krishna puts that? Paramalpedi chapi ukto, he says. Paramalpedi chapi ukto dehesvin purushapara. Chapi ukto, he says. Chapi ukto means, so, is called, he says. Called Paramatma. He's not saying he is Paramatma. He says called, he's called as Paramatma. Chapi iti uktam. Ukta means, in other words, in other words, he is not only called Paramatma, he is called by other names as well. But when he is Upadrashta, Anumantha, Bhartha, Bhokta, Maheshwara, Paramatmedi Chapyukto, he is addressed as Paramatma. He says, Paramatmedi Chapyukto, Anena Shabdena Cha Upi Api Uktaha Kathitaha Shruto. Shruti or Vedam also says, Shruti also says, Paramatma is the Andaratma or Andaryami inside. Is that Paramatma? So how many names Krishna has got now? Names when he is inside us. He has got name as Paramatma, Andaryami, Pratyagalma, Sutralma, Nyapti, and there are more names. At least these are few names. Why all these so many different names? Because he is doing different things there. Upadrashta. Another word, Anumantha, Bhokta, Bartha, Bhokta, Maheshwara. So many names. So if you keep on reading Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, you will find new names coming out all the time, in different places. When Pipalayana Maharshi talks about Krishna, he calls him a Sutralpa there, in everything. He is Sutralpa for him. For Mujukunda calls him as Nyapti, calls Krishna as Nyapti. And Navayogis and Devagi Devi calls Krishna as Kevalanu Bhavananda Swarupam. See, the Vastu is one, but everybody is calling by different names. Krishna must be tired getting all these kind of people calling by all different names like this. Kevalanu Bhavananda, Krishna is called, addressed as. And Mujukunda says, you are Nyapti, he says. Tvam Nyapti Matram Purusham Puranam, he says. And here, Krishna himself says about him, I am Upadrashta, I am Anumantha, I am Bhartha, I am Bhokta, I am Maheshwara, and I am called generally as Paramatma. And in the 9th chapter and 10th chapter, Krishna says, I am the Andaryami. So, everything is Krishna. So, while studying Bhagavad Gita, these words should not, you should not think they are all different persons. This is one and the same. But according to the function in that particular situation, Krishna is addressed in that way. Paramatma or Nyakti or whatever that is called. So, kosau asmin dehe purushaha paraha avyaktat uttama purushastanya paramat yutidahada. Now, when you go into the 15th chapter, Krishna presents himself in a different way. There, Krishna is called the yoga. If you look at the chapter, you will see it is called the yoga of the Supreme Person. That's how Krishna comes there, as yoga of the Supreme Person, isn't it? And that's the 17th, I think, is the chapter. No, that's the 15th chapter. Yoga of the Supreme Person. So the yoga of the Supreme Person, there, you know what Krishna is called there? He's called Purushottama there. Purushottama Yoga, it is. So, another name of Krishna. No, you shouldn't get confused why there is Purushottama, here is Antaryami, there is somebody else. Vastu is the same. Again, due to what is going to be discussed in that, it's a different topic altogether. So, therefore, you'll know why he is called Purushottama there, Purushottama Yoga. So, avyaktad uttama purushastanya. He is called Purushottama there. Idiyo vakshamanaha kshetrajnam chapimam viddi. And another name is Kshetrajna. Krishna's another name is Kshetrajna. So, when you have time, sit down and make a list of all these names of Krishna. So that you don't get confused when you read Bhagavad Gita. Because everywhere he is addressed in different ways. Iti upanyasto vyakhyaya vasamhradacha. Then in the explanations, you have to understand why he is spoken in that way. So where is he, this vastu whom you are looking for? Where is he? That he is present inside, separated from the avyaktam. Avyaktam is manifested. Separate from the unmanifested, and he is superior to everything, and he is present inside as Paramatma. And after saying that, Krishna has concluded that verse, and he is going to tell us that one who has realized, this is what self-realization means, realizing all these things in relationship with Krishna, then it is self-realization. When self-realization happens, you realize all these words that's been used to explain Krishna makes sense. You will see all of these explanations of Krishna true when self-realization happens. And at that stage, even because this self-realization can happen while living in this world, it is not after death business, it's before that. Jivan Mukta state, even when that realization happens here, Krishna is saying that is what we are going to talk about in the next verse. Krishna says when self-realization has happened, when all these special features of the Paramatma or Krishna has realized within the self, then whatever vyavaharam happens through according to his prarabdham through that body, if something is going to happen, still he will not be bound by anything. That is the most important statement in the next verse. Here evam, Krishna says, evam veti purusham prakritim cha gunai saha sarvadha vartamanobi nasabhuyobi jayate. Just see the connection with these two verses. Now, Krishna is going to finish this saying that prakriti and purusha, two things, and in these two ways, Krishna is going to talk about the connection between purusha and prakriti here. One who knows this thing, whatever Krishna has spoken so far, knowing means one who has realized it, what is that? Prakritim cha, evam veti purusham, prakritim cha gunai saha, prakritim cha gunai saha. When one experiences prakriti, when one experiences purusha, through experience, not through brain, not through mind or brain, through experience. One who knows through experience, such a person, what does he say? Gunaihi, gunaihi saha, saha. That means, gunaihi saha means, he knows that sattvam, rajasa, tamasa, three modes of material nature. when he knows Prakriti and Purusha along with the three modes of material nature, that means he can see very distinctly Purusha. That means in his realization, I am saying, not seeing with the eyes, in his realization, when he realizes, very distinctly he realizes what is Purusha. Very distinctly he realizes what is Prakriti and Prakriti's three modes of material nature. Very distinctly he realizes inside. At the moment, what is our situation? Everything is mixed up inside, isn't it? It's a mixed up state what we are in today. Body is there, mind is there, intelligence is there, ego is there, senses are there, and jivatma is there, paramatma is there. And if somebody asks you, who are you? There is no proper answer. The whole thing combined together, I am this package. I have to answer like this, isn't it? I cannot answer anything else. All I know is this whole package. Package exists, I know. Krishna is saying to us that when you have realized the self and you have understood the package properly, at the moment I don't even know the package well. Even that I know only because the Shastram is telling me that all these things are present in me. Senses, mind, intelligence, ego, body, gross body, and the jivatma, paramatma, everything present there. That's how I know this package. But when you realize the self, Krishna is saying here, that person, prakritim cha ya evam veti, one who has known, veti means purusham. If he has known that purusha in anubhavam, in realization, what? Prakritim cha gunaihi saha. That means he will know the purusha clearly, what purusha means. He will know what prakriti means. Not only he will know what prakriti means, he will know prakriti with its three modes of material nature. Gunai cha prakritim cha gunai saha, he says, with gunam, with the three modes of nature. Otherwise, how will you know prakriti? Prakriti means three modes of material nature, is it not? You can't separate the modes of nature away and call something as prakriti. Modes of nature itself is prakriti. Itself is prakriti. Plus, prakriti, when it acts through the modes of nature, it is called maya. Isn't it? Maya means prakriti itself is maya. But when it is acting through the modes of nature, it is called maya. Just like Krishna is addressed in different ways, prakriti is also addressed in different ways. Prakriti is prakriti. Prakriti is also maya. Prakriti is also the three modes of material nature. Trigunam. Trigunalpmiga, she is called. Trigunalpmiga. That is why in Bhagavad Gita also, whenever Krishna addresses prakriti according to the time and the place, Krishna will use different words. Earlier you have seen Devi Hesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Durateya. Krishna is talking about prakriti there. Isn't it? And whereas in another place Krishna is saying that about prakriti, he mentions that prakritim purusham chaiva, in other words, he says like that. And yesterday when we were discussing about the I am the doer, we saw that verse, isn't it? What does that verse say? What was that? The No. When we talked about that aham. No. When we talked about I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. Remember that? Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha. There it is prakriti. And the same prakriti in the other words is maya. They are not different, they are one and the same. But Krishna prefers to use prakriti here and maya there. Maya is the one when you get affected by that. It's maya. It's maya, isn't it? Like we say, oh, I was in maya. That's why I'm not now. Only then. Similarly, as though we understand maya so well. So, prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahangara vimudhalma kartahamidhi manyade. That is prakriti. And that prakriti is not different than devi hesha gunamai mamamaya durateya. One and the same thing.
Exactly like Krishna is addressed in different ways, Prakriti also is addressed in different ways in the Bhagavad Gita. So, here, coming back to this verse, Gunaihi Saha, it is 5 o'clock, we'll have a break.
Chedo darpanam arjanam bhavamaha davagni nirvavanam shreyakkaidava chandriga vidaranam vidyavadhu jivanam anandam buddhivardhanam pradipadam purnamrudaswadanam sarvapnasapanam param vijayade shri krishna sankirtanam namnamagari bahuda nija sarva shakti tatrarpida niyamida smaranena kalam edadrisham dava kripa bhagavan mamami durdeva medrashamihajani nanuragah trinaravishuni jena tarorabhi sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari nathanam najanam nasundarim kavidam va jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmani ishware bhavadad bhaktirahai dugitvai ai nandadanu jakinkaram padidamam shame bhavambudau kripaya tava pada pangajastida duli sadrisham vichindayam nayanam galada shrudharaya vadanam gadgadaruddhaya gira pulagair nichidam kadavabho tavannama grahane bhavishyadi yugahidam nimeshena chakshusha pravishayidam shunyayidam jagal sarvam govinda virahename ashleshyava padaradam pinashtumam adarshanam armahadam karotuva yathatathava vidhatadulambada matpranathastu nayevana para.
या एवा वेति पुरुषं प्रकृतिं च गुणैः सह सर्वधा वर्तमानोऽपि न स भूयोऽपि जायते. कृष्ण सेइंग इन दि लास्ट वर्स वी सॉ दैट उपद्रष्टा अनुमंता Bharta, Bhokta, Maheshwara. 5 things, isn't it? And Krishna said, one who knows me in this way, as Upadrashta, Anumanda, Bharta, Bhokta, Maheshwara, who is called as Paramatma, iti ukto, Dehesmin Purushapara. Dehesmin Purushapara. And he is present inside there, and even in Vyavaharam, after realizing that, even in the Vyavaharam, if his Prarabdham starts, because in Vyavaharam, Prarabdham will come. Prarabdham is what keeps the Vyavaharam going. Suppose there is no Prarabdham, there will be no Vyavaharam either. So when Prarabdham comes through Vyavaharam in that way, he will not be bound, Krishna said. He will not be bound because he has realized this fully himself. Which one? Upadrashta, Anumanda, Bhata Bhokta Maheshwara. In this, and that person means Atma here, that aspect of Paramatma here, who has realized that, he, ya evam veti purusham, prakritim cha gunai saha, he knows purusha in that way, along with prakriti, with all the three modes of material nature. Even though he continued to act in this world, sometimes it happened like that. A person is liberated. He's called a Jivan Mukta. Jivan Mukta means liberated here. But still, the body won't drop. It will, because there is some prarabdham still left over to finish. This happens to many, many people. It has happened. Sadashiva Brahmendra and Chandrasekhar says, there are many like that for whom this has happened. Prarabdham is there. Self-realization, liberation has happened, but body is still remaining. Body still remains.
So what they will do, they will wait for the body to drop. Wait for the body to drop. Until the body drops, they have to carry on. And in that period, when the waiting for the body to drop, some vyavaharam will come through that body. Some vyavaharam will come through that body. Krishna is saying here that who has realized it, but still remaining in this world, and if some vyavaharam is coming through him still, sarvatha vartamanobi nasabhuyobi jayate. You can take it that even though some activities are happening through him, he will not take birth again. This is the thing. Because if somebody is doing some work in this world, generally you have to take it that he will take another birth. If somebody is doing some work in this world. Because karma is there, karma will create karma vasana, and that karma vasana will create further life again in him, in that person. It's a cycle, isn't it? Karma vasana, karma phalam, and causing another vasana inside, vasana to action, again to action, in that way. Krishna is saying here, a liberated soul who has realized this, what Krishna has spoken before, that person, even if he is, the liberated state, if he is doing some karmam here, the chances are that he will, Krishna is guaranteeing here, sarvadha vartamanobi nasabhuyobi jayate, he will not take birth again, Krishna is saying here. So, and it may appear as though that he is engaged in activity. Sometimes, and that is why the activities of the liberated souls does not look very logical to us because of this. Because prakriti, what they call it as, prakriti forces them, their body to act in a particular way. And that's why it is called cheshta. Cheshta is the word for that. Cheshta. For example, Jadabharata's activity, you can see. What happened to Jadabharata? In the realized state, they wanted to take him and to make a sacrifice of him. Isn't it? The people who caught him, they wanted to use him for a human sacrifice. They took him in front of the Kali, in the Kali temple, they took him there and they wanted to cut his throat and offer him into Bhadragali. That was what the plan was. And he didn't care. He went along with that. He says, oh, I am ready, he said. I'll go with you. They just held his hand and took him and he went along with them. They told him, now, they bathed him nicely. They told him, take bath nicely. Because when you're offering, it should be very clean, isn't it? Making a good offering, clean offering. So told him to clean up himself very well, bathe himself. And not only that, they told him to wear nice clothes. And they brought him some good clothes to wear. Added to all that, they put some garlands on him. So they said, wear all these garlands. Because when we are offering you as a offering to Bhadragali, we should be in a very good shape to offer. So he has done everything what they have told him to do. And he also knew that his body is going to go. But he was not bothered. Why? Because he knows he's not the body. So separation has already happened inside. This is that state. So action is going on with the body, but it has no effect inside. Because inside he knows very well that I have no connection with this body. If my prarabdham is finished with this, that's it. If not, he is willing to wait. But prarabdham was not over. So what happened? Bhadragali came again and saved him from that. Did not allow them to kill him. And then later on he left his body. Because there was still prarabdham for him to finish, that he had to meet up with Rahugana and had that conversation with him. So there was still more to be done in this world. That's all his prarabdham to do. That prarabdham between Rahugana and Jadabharata is like this. When Jadabharata became the deer, Rahugana, some great souls are this opinion that Rahugana was that deer. So there was a contact between, account was not settled in that body, in the deer body. Sorry, when that Rahugana and when Jadabharata became the deer, and Jadabharata has to go through that deer's body, later on when he gave up the body of the deer and came as Jadabharata, Rahugana had to come back here to meet Jadabharata. Because at the time in the deer body, when he has developed some attachment there, that Rahugana was present there. And there was some attachment between Rahugana and the Jadabharata while Jadabharata was in the deer's body. So this connection between Rahugana and Jadabharata did not happen when they met up with in the third birth. It has happened even before that. This is some of the opinion of the great devotees on this. They are saying that in relationship has already built up before. And therefore, when he came as Jadabharata later, that he had to come here as the Rahugana there, as the king. As a king, he had to come. So here, what is important is, Sarvadha Vartamanobi Nasabhuyobi Jayate. Krishna is saying that even though he is doing so many things, like in the case of Jadabharata, or even if you take the case of Rishabhadeva also, even after liberation, a lot of things were happening through that body, but still it will not have any influence on him. Why? Sarvada, because ya evam veti purusham prakritim cha gunai saha. So sarvada sarva pragarena, because he has asmin vidvat sharire dehandrayana abhijayade na utpadyade dehandaram na grahanadi ityartha. Other words, whichever way he lives in this world, it was the same thing with many liberated souls. I mentioned this about Sadashiv Brahmendra before. After liberation, he is walking around, and when he was walking through the garden of the Nawab of Arcot, he was walking through the garden, women were bathing there, and he had no clothes on, and he was walking through the middle of that. Nawab noticed that and found out who is doing this. And the women were bathing and he was walking in the middle of that without clothes on, thinking that he's got some crazy person. He told his soldiers to go and get him, bring him in. And when they caught him and brought him, he came. And Nawab said to cut his hand. They cut his hand. The hand fell off there. And they let him go and he walked away from there. After he left, Nawab realized that this is not an ordinary person. That you cut his hand, he's no protest at all, and just walked away from there. So Nawab went back to him with that hand which was cut off, took it in his hand and went up to him and started asking him, very much similar to this Rahugana and Jadabharata story, and says Sadashiva Brahmendra, that who are you? Sadashiva Brahmendra looked at him. This is your hand which has cut off, he said. So he took it from him and put it back onto his body again and started walking from there. So personalities who have completely left the body, if some activities are happening through that body, Krishna says that will not have any impact on them because they have already left the body. That is what Krishna says in the Bhagavatam. Dehastobi na dehasta. They are in the body, but they are not in the body anymore. See that, how that verse makes sense to this, isn't it? That dehastobina dehasa, they are in the body, but they are not in the body anymore. So that's what he's saying here. Whichever way they live after self-realization in this world, in reality, he has no rebirth. Abhishabdat kimu vaktavyam, so vrittastho na jayade idi abhiprayaha. So there is no doubt that there is not going to be any more another birth. So on this verse, there is so much written about it. Obviously, persons who are very concerned about self-realization and liberation, that is important. There's a lot written about that. Anyway, coming back to this verse, we see here that Krishna mentions there prakritim cha gunai saha, isn't it? So gunai saha means modes of material nature. He will know that the modes of nature is working. That person, liberated person, knows. And if he is in the sattvagunam, what will happen is he will be absorbed in meditation, dhyanam, because in his inside, dhyanam does not mean sitting in one place and absorbed in meditating on a particular form. in spiritual terminology, actual dhyanam means in a natural way inside you that realized state being experienced. That is dhyanam. That experience of that realized state inside, whether you are walking or whether you are lying down or whether you are sitting, doesn't matter. Whatever situation you are in, experiencing of that realized state inside is dhyanam. That is dhyanam means. So if you are in the sattva-gunam, that dhyanam will come, and if there is some influence of rajogunam in the body, then you will enter into action. You have to remember this, even in that state, sattvam, rajasa, tamasa has not left the body. Inside in your consciousness, you are very clear what you are, your identity. But in the body and the mind and in the intelligence, still there is sattvam, rajasa, tamasa. So accordingly, you will act. If there is sattva-gunam, you will go into meditation. If it is rajo-gunam, you will go into action, pravrti. And if there is tamo-gunam inside, you will go into sleep. You will go into sleep. This will still happen even after liberation. Even after liberation. But what he knows at that time, that he knows that it is not happening in me. It is happening in the prakriti. It's happening in the prakriti, and I am only a witness. That awareness is still there in him. That's the only difference. Things will still happen like the way it's happening to us. But when it happens to us, we don't think that it is happening in the prakriti, isn't it? And we don't even know the difference between sattvam, rajasa, tamasa. All we know is rajogunam, to act straight away. So that's our only thing what we are used to. But when realization happens, Krishna is saying here, that this aspect of being a witness will become very strongly inside. Will come very strongly inside. On the other hand, sattvam, rajasa, tamasa, they have three nature. Sattva-gunam, you can, to understand how to test a person when he is in sattva-gunam, whether he is in rajogunam or tamogunam. The easiest way to know that is, you can know him through the food, you can know him through the place of residence, you can know him through the, of course, so many things are there, that, but generally, that's all it is. Generally, it's not based on the postcode. Just I'm saying, sattvam, rajasa, tamasa. Sattva gunam nature is that naturally, its attraction for food will be such food which is in the sattva gunam, like fruits, milk, and things like that. People who have don't take it that as a wrong thing, because sattvam, rajasa, tamasa is in everyone. Only there is a difference in the gunam, in the dominance of the modes of nature. Sattvam, rajasa, tamasa is there, required in everybody. Otherwise, you won't be able to do anything. Or you won't be able to sleep either, if rajogunam, tamogunam is not there. But where we stand, you can understand by looking at a person. Sattvagunam predominating, he will have more attraction for sattvika food. And those who have attraction, who have rajogunam influence, their attraction will be for those kind of food which flies when you put it on the table, or which moves around, or things like that. Those kind of moving bodies. That is the rajogunam, and the also, and tamogunam is the type of food where you get attracted to, where which is cooked days together before, or which has got some pungent taste and which are not helpful in spiritual life. There's a special attraction for that kind of food. So the type of food one eats has a bearing on the his nature, sattva-gunam. Similarly, you can also see one who is inclined in sattva-gunam, more attraction for spiritual life and absorption in shastram and interest in the shastram, self-realization and things like that. That's the natural way it's present in that person. It becomes his nature. And one who is in rajo-gunam, He will have predominantly involved in action. He will have a lot of projects running at the same time in his life. Very project oriented, in other words. He'll be a project manager for many things going on. He will do various things and he'll be the project manager for everything. That is rajogunam. Tamogunam means can't do anything. Always depressed and always complaining about the world. and feeling helpless about everything. That is that tamogunam. So these three modes are present even in the jivanmukta state, and they are present in the body and the mind and the intelligence, isn't it? So when they are present there, accordingly action will happen. But the difference is, even when all those things are happening, he knows very well inside that he is only a witness to everything. That is the difference. He is only a witness to everything. And they are called Sankhya Yoga Darshi. That means they have come through the Sankhya Yoga process. And Sarvadha Vartamanebi. Krishna is saying, Sarvadha Vartamanebi. That means, even if he is busy doing something all the time, even if he is doing something according to his prarabdham, he is still doing. And even if he had to do various kinds of things, nasa bhuyopi jayate, Krishna is saying, he will never take birth again. He will never take birth again. So, if you want to understand about jivanmukta state, there is a number of verses which explains in the Viveka Chudamani, a large number of verses which is looking at jivanmuktattvam from different angles. It is at the end of Viveka Chudamani, what talks about the jivanmukta state. Yeah, we'll look at that later. I think so many verses there. If you look from verse, it's verse 4 to 8 onwards, 4 to 8, all the way through 439 up to 440. That means about 12 verses talking about a liberated soul. What will be like? Then, in that jivanmukta state, as Krishna mentions here, in simple terms, Krishna is saying here, Sarvadha sartamanobi nasabhuyobi jayate. Only thing is, he doesn't have to take birth again. That's all he says. He is completely independent and fully situated within the self, and he has acquired what one has to acquire in this life. Such a person, nasabhuyobi jayate, he doesn't take birth again. In other words, what has happened now is, he has come to know that he doesn't have this birth and death. That is what happens. It's not that he will not go through another body. What has happened now? It's all realization, isn't it? Realization means what? Realization means this, that he realizes there is no such thing called birth and death. That's what happened. Only then it will tally with the second chapter verses. Do you understand what I'm saying? You see, when Krishna makes this statement, Sarvadha Vartamanobi Nasabhuyopi Jayade, try to see that subtlety of that verse. You may think that, oh, he's not going to take birth again. What does that mean? It means this, that he realized that the self has no birth, no death. Birth is for the jiva. Ego is the one which goes through birth and death, not the self. That realization has happened to him. So long as I am identifying as jiva with the ego, I need to go through birth and death. I have no choice there. Is it not? That is also in the second chapter. Remember the difference between the... In one place, Krishna is saying, Na jayade mriyade va kadajil nayam bhutva bhavido vana bhuya ajaha nityaha shashadaha puranam na hanyade hanyamane sharire. That is referring to what? It's referring to that state of jivanmukta state. In exactly in the same chapter, Krishna is also saying, Jadasehi Dhruvo Mrityur Dhruvam Janma Mrdaseja Tasmad Abariharyarthi Natvam Shochitum Arhasi. One who is born, he has to die. And one who is dead, he has to take birth. So it may appear as though it is contradicting, but there is no contradiction. When self-realization happens, there is no rebirth, or there is no birth or death. Birth and death is in with reference to the jiva and the subtle body. That is what the realization has happened here. So, So that means he realizes that I am beyond, beyond this birth and death. I am beyond birth and death. Only when you become a jiva, you have birth and death. Once you have lost your jivahood and you have become the paramatmahood, then there is no birth and death. That is why Krishna is saying, even while he is living in this body, he has won over this cycle of birth and death. That's why he is saying like that. See that? Sarvadha vartamanobi nasabhuyobi jayate. Krishna is saying, ya evam veti purusham prakritim cha gunai saha sarvadha vartamanobi nasabhuyobi jayate. That means in his consciousness he has realized there is no such thing called birth and death. In other words, he is no more identification with the body. The whole identification is with the self. So, now, these things, what Krishna has spoken in this verse, we cannot believe it. Why? Why cannot believe it? Because if it is just a statement in the Bhagavad Gita, or statement in the Bhagavadam, it will be like so many other statements in the Puranam, isn't it? For example, so many statements in the Puranam, you can question that, is it not? You can question about the heavenly planets. I have not seen heavenly planets. You have not seen heavenly planets. I don't know if you have even seen the heavenly planets, but I haven't seen the heavenly planets. So when we talk about heavenly planets, it's all based on the knowledge of the Shastram, we accept it without any question. We have to accept it that way. We have no choice there, is there? You have no choice there in accepting that. About the existence of the heavenly planets. Equally about the existence of the hellish planets. Now, if you read the description of the hellish planets, you really get wonder that does it exist or not? People will ask this question. Quite often, people ask the question. Does hellish planet exist or not? And if it does exist, the description in the Bhagavadam is frightening. Is it not? People do get frightened after reading. That's why many people, they don't read the whole fifth canto. After reading half of fifth canto, they go to sixth canto. Because if you read them, it's very disturbing inside. Because some of us may have done some of the things what is mentioned there. So that means the punishment is very severe in that fifth canto. So, these things, what is mentioned there, there is no proof for that, is there? You can't prove it to anybody that heavenly planets exist and all the living standard in the heavenly planets and all the comforts and facilities there. All that is, you have to believe it, you have no choice there, isn't it? So, if these things, what Krishna has spoken here, if it is also like that, you just have to believe it only. But, it's not like that. That's the reason I'm saying. Personalities, jnanis, yogis, devotees, all of them who have realized the truth, they have confirmed that what Krishna has spoken is true. That is the reason you can accept this chapter without any questioning. There is proof and there is guarantee for that. Any great realized soul, if you ask them, they will say, they will repeat exactly the same words what Krishna is saying here. That is why these chapters are more important. Because here is something Krishna is saying very tangible and solid, which has been practiced and realized by personalities in their life, and they were living examples to what Krishna has spoken here. Heavenly planets, hellish planets, we don't know. You have to accept it purely on the strength of your belief. Some people may accept 100%, some people may accept 50%, some people may accept 5%. Of what is written in the Puranam. That's all you can do. Because if you start asking logic for it, it's very difficult to explain everything on a logical way from the Puranam, isn't it? Because in one place it says one thing, in another place there's something different, and there'll always be some kind of... But here, what is Upanishad saying, what Krishna has brought into Bhagavad Gita here, this verse, the ample proof in this world, so many realized personalities, you can go back into the history and see them. And even today, they are realizing these verses in their life, in this world, even today. People are realizing this, and there are personalities living in that way, even today. even today. Now, if we go there and try to find out whether they have got all these things, that will be difficult, because unless we know what self-realization means, you won't be able to understand that. They are not making any propaganda. They are still living here in this world. So the point here, Krishna is saying here, that liberated souls, because of their sincerity and the way they have lived in this world, and they have given examples to us through their own life in this world, they have shown to us that it is possible to reach this state, what Krishna has spoken in these verses. So, normally, you can see, all the great Mahatmas, Jnanis, liberated souls, so they are all of them, through their, because they have taken these aspects of Bhagavad Gita very seriously, and they had, because in the past there were personalities who have succeeded in realizing this, that gives extra strength to continue in spiritual life. Is it not? Suppose there were no personalities here who had realized the truth in this world in the past, then we will find that it would be difficult to accept it. Is it not? We may say that, well, it's in the book, but where is the proof, you can ask. But because there is ample proof throughout the history that personalities who have realized this. Now, for example, if you say in the Puranam, there is this statement, Dasharatha has gone to heavenly planets and fought the war. Dasharatha has lived 50,000 years. When he was 50,000 years old, he got married to Kaikeyi. These statements are there. You have no way of verifying it, isn't it? All you know is that in the Ramayanam it is mentioned like that. And Ramayanam also says Dasharatha used to go to the heavenly planets and work and help Indra to fight with the demons there. All these things, we haven't got any proof except that on the strength of belief you have to accept it. But these things are not like that, these verses. These verses, there is enough proof in this world at different times, great, great jnanis, yogis, devotees, all of them, whoever has realized the truth, if you ask them that what is their realization, when they answer, this will be their answer. What Krishna is saying here. Ubadrashta, Anumanda, Bharta Bhokta, Maheshwara. And Krishna also says there, Paramalpedija Pikto, Dehesmin Purushapara. Plus, whatever Krishna says in this verse, Evam Veti Purusham, Pragritimcha Gunai Saha. Sarvadha Vartamanobi Nasabhuyobi Jayate. Nasabhuyobi Jayate. So, so that is that verse. And so why I am repeating this again and again is, always remember this, that because it is there, ample proof of personalities who have lived in this world, who have shown to us it is possible, and this is the state of that liberation. We have to accept it. And you also have to remember another thing, spiritual adhyalpa vidya, spiritual knowledge is the knowledge of realization. Spiritual knowledge is knowledge of realization. Without giving importance to realization, without giving any value to realization, simply like chemistry and physics, if you study it and if you propagate it, after a while what will happen is it will lose its spirit. This is the danger in that. You understand what I'm saying? That this knowledge of the self, what Krishna is talked about in this chapter, Krishna is saying that these are the things what will happen to that person, Jivan Mukta state. Now, after studying all that, and after realizing that there were personalities in the world who have lived who in the past, who are living today in the present, and who will be there in the future as well. As long as Bhagavad Gita and this science is there,
it will inspire them to go into the spiritual path and to realize the truth. There is no doubt about that. There will always be people. We may not come to know about that, but they are there. They will be there. Krishna's point is that Adhyatma Vidya is a Anubhuti Vidya. Adhyatma Vidya is Anubhuti Vidya. In other words, spiritual life is for experience. Instead, if you start making the spiritual knowledge or Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam and make it like physics and chemistry as a subject for study for the mind and the brain, and if you start propagating it in that level, after a while, very soon, the life in that spiritual knowledge will go away. It will go away. It will simply become a subject like politics or economics or chemistry in that way. So, with the result that, because the essence of spiritual life is us, we are the essence of the spiritual life. Because when we are talking about it from the Bhagavad Gita, I have to realize it that this is to be the goal of the life. This is to be the goal of the life. Keeping that in the prominence, and also I have to remain in me. With that understanding, I have to talk about the self. I have to talk about the self. Equally, so I start thinking, this is all for you. I have to teach you these things. They have nothing to do with me. If I take that approach, this will not have any benefit. I will get benefited if I remain in this understanding and speak about it. You will get benefited if you remain in that understanding and listens to it. This is the way Adhyatma Vidya works. Otherwise not. That is why it should not be brought it down to the same level of any other topic, any other subjects. It has to come into ourselves. That's why I was saying yesterday that each of these verses, if you keep on going through it again and again, it will start waking up inside and start making you aware that there is something different than this body existing inside us. And Krishna is completely explaining the character of that aspect of us inside who is untouched by the body, untouched by the mind, intelligence or ego. So here, important thing is this Prakriti Purusha Vivekam. Krishna calls it like that, isn't it? So this Brahma Vidya, there are so many names for that. Like Prakriti has got name Maya, this Brahma Vidya also has got different names. Brahma Vidya, Adhyatma Vidya, all these are different names for that. So this Brahma Vidya also, when you accept it, you have to accept it in that way, not accept it like chemistry and physics. Not like chemistry and physics. So at that time, through the influence of that Prakriti Purusha Vivekam, Krishna is saying that Prakriti's gunam is in the Prakriti. That's what Krishna mentions there. That Prakritim cha gunai saha. Prakriti's gunam is in Prakriti. And I am Purusha. I am Purusha. So initially all you can do is to imagine within yourself this, till experience is a much later thing, isn't it? So initially when you hear this from Bhagavad Gita, in your bhavana, bhavana means imagination, you start building it up inside. That's it to start with. That is how you do it. That in your imagination you start building it up. And later on, it will see that a change is happening inside. Because if you keep it into the level of mind and brain, this will not happen. It has to come into the field of imagination, at least to start with. So, then it will become easier. Because Sankhyam, this is Sankhya Yogam. Krishna is talking about this Sankhya Yogam, isn't it? Prakriti Purusha Vivekam. So this Prakriti Purusha Vivekam is a little difficult in the beginning. Because Krishna is saying also asangoyam, asangoyam, asangoyam puna puna. Sachidananda ryuboham aham evaham avyayam. Asangatvam is our nature. Asangatvam means soul has no sangam anywhere. Is it not? That is where we are beginning from. Soul has no sangam anywhere. Sangam means no contact with anything. No contact with the body, no contact with the mind, no contact with the intelligence, no contact with the ego, no contact with the senses. But in the last verses, Krishna has said that they are all functioning because of Atma, because of the soul. Paramatma's presence is there.
So he is permeating into everything and making that function, making that function. So avyayam. So, and these three modes of nature, three modes of material nature, sattvam, rajasa and tamasa, that is in the prakriti, isn't it? That is in the prakriti. And happiness and distress, lust and anger, all these things, where are they? They are also in the prakriti. Has nothing to do with the self. That is what I am saying. Initially, when we take this knowledge to within, we have to take it in this way in our imagination. Why? Because we still have anger, we still have lust and greed and all other impurities inside. And because they are there, it cannot be, can only be taken in through the process of imagination, through the process of imagination. But if you take it on imagination, slowly inside you will start accepting it. Right at this moment, the avidya inside will not allow you to accept it. Therefore, you have to accept it in your imagination level. Because you can see the problem. Avidya is already there. Avidya means ajnanam, isn't it? Avidya is telling me all the time, I am this body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses like that. And I am still very much attracted by the avidya inside, because avidya is guiding me in my life. As soon as I leave the hall, all avidya activities begin in my life, everybody's life in that way. So when you leave avidya and come back to vidya, vidya means knowledge, that means when you come back from ignorance to knowledge, initially the tendency will be to accept through the mind and the brain. And mind and brain is no use here. Absolutely useless they are. Therefore, we have to take a new field, which is imagination. In imagination, you have to accept all these things first, what Krishna has spoken here. So Krishna is saying, and why in imagination? Because the three modes of material nature is still in us, sattvam, rajasa, tamasa. Not only that, the effect of those three modes of nature, namely lust, anger, greed, they are all the effects of these modes of nature in us, is it not? They are not independent. They are also due to the presence of the modes of nature. But by imagining that in my swarupam, in my pure identity, none of these things exist. Which one? Three modes of nature doesn't exist. These kamam, krotham, lobham, moham, madam, matsaryam, all these impurities, what we call them, they don't exist. I am by nature, Krishna is saying, I am nitya shuddha buddha mukta swarupam. I am eternal, I am pure, I am fully conscious, and I am always liberated. I am always liberated. And that vastu is, Krishna is saying, that is asangam. Asangam means it has no contact with anything, but asangam. And but after saying that, just by repeating that through the lips, you shouldn't go and stay like that. It is not for that purpose this is spoken. That means you have to take it further from there. Just hearing Bhagavad Gita and leaving it there is no good. It has to be taken in, and it has to be become that our own realization. So Krishna is saying here, and in order to help us to have this realization to happen, Krishna talk about that few things, isn't it? Which one? Amanitvam, adambitvam, ahimsa, chandira, arjavam. A few things like shamam, damam, titiksha, uparadi, shraddha, samadhanam. They are all the qualities which are associated with that. So while cultivating those qualities, or when those culturing those qualities, Krishna is saying, with this knowledge in imagination, eventually it will develop into self-realization. This is the way it happens. On the one side, the knowledge what Krishna has spoken about the soul, accept it in your imagination level. And in that, let it remain in that imagination state for some time. Simultaneously, Krishna is saying, those qualities which he has expressed, mentioned there, aham, amanitvam, adambitvam onwards, so many qualifications, if you keep on cultivating them, combined with this knowledge in the imagination, Krishna is saying that will turn into self-realization. It has to. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. So, so when this happens, Krishna is saying, little by little, what will happen in that person is that I have no contact with prakriti. that realization will come first. You see, at the moment, due to our contact with Prakriti, we are experiencing the miseries of the body, isn't it? All miseries of the body is due to contact with the Prakriti. Just like when we get sick, we feel the sickness affecting us. Why? Due to contact with the Prakriti. And similarly, when someone insults you or glorifies you, it affects you. Why? Due to contact with the Prakriti. Due to contact with the Prakriti. So all the problems, happiness, distress, everything is due to contact with the Prakriti. Krishna has spoken that before. Purusha prakritistohi bunjale prakritijam gunai karanam gunasangase sadasa janayonisu. The previous words. So as long as there is contact with the Prakriti, Krishna has put it to us, you will have problem. There is no way of escaping from that till you get released from the Prakriti. So the first step before getting released from the Prakriti is to know that you have nothing to do with the Prakriti before getting released from the Prakriti. So Krishna says here that I have no contact with the Prakriti, nothing will affect me. Nothing will affect me. So that is why when in a very realized state you can see lot of things are happening in the body, lot of miseries are coming into the body, but the person is still able to say, it's not affecting me, it's not happening in me. In me. For him, that me has changed from the ego to the self. To the, that's what has happened. Only when you are, when there is identification with the ego, all the problems of the material world will exist. As soon as you leave your identification, ego means identification with the body. As long as we have identification with the body or the ego, whichever way you call it, that you have to go through that distress, what is generated from that. That is what Krishna is saying here. So, so when we are able to make a statement like some jnanis and the yogis do after realization, that it is happening in the Prakriti, not in me. They will say like this. It's happening in my body, but not in me. What can... And they will... I mentioned this before also. When Ravana Maharshi had problems, people went up to him and told him that why that such a personality like you had this has happened to you. They were feeling compassion for him. So he was saying to them that yes, it is there. That is happening in the body, not in me. He was able to say this to them. Even when the cancer was very acute and there was severe pain experienced in the body, he was still able to say this to them, to the doctor, that it is happening in the body, not in me. Not in me. And that can only come from a person who has reached that state. Who has reached that state. That is the symptom that he is situated in the self. He is situated in the self. And this process is the process of dhyanam, meditation. So, but if that, when they are in that state, nothing will affect them. By chance, if they lose that state, then what will happen? They'll come into contact with Prakriti again. They'll come into contact with Prakriti. Because in the early days, suppose, for example, I mentioned about this. In your imagination, you have taken this on board. Is it not? In your imagination. So, if that imagination is strengthened, then many small distress of this world, you will be able to deal with it. Smaller distresses, not serious ones, smaller ones. Distress also has different degrees, isn't it? So, when distress comes in a smaller way, you will be able to deal with that because of the strength of your imagination, that I have nothing to do with this body. Nothing to do with this body. But if by any reason, if the distress is too powerful, that you will strip, you will slip from that state of your imagination and you will find that you are in the grip of Prakriti at that time. And what you have to remember is, keeping the Prakriti with you, you are trying to transcend the Prakriti. Is it not? That you should never forget. You are not fighting against the Prakriti outside the Prakriti. You are in the Prakriti and you are trying to transcend the Prakriti. That is the problem. That is why it is so difficult. So long as you are under the influence of Prakriti, because when you are imagining also about this realized state, what Krishna is talking about, you are still under the grip of Prakriti. Is it not?
So that is why Krishna is saying like this, that I am not this body, I am not this mind, all these things, why is it not happening to us? The reason is this, that you are still in the influence of Prakriti. You are still in the influence of Prakriti. And therefore, whatever statement you are making, Prakriti takes control straight away. And that statement doesn't go very far from there. You can see that in our own, sometimes we study all these books. And when it comes to practical life, when disturbances or distress comes, we are finding it difficult to withstand that, isn't it? Finding it difficult to withstand that. But when a person has come to that state, when the liberation has happened in a person, what is the state at that time? Mano buddhya hangara chitta ninaham naja shrotra jihve naja krana netre naja vyoma bhumer na tejo na vayu chidananda rubam shivoham shivoham. My identity at that time is I am not the mind. That is that state. I am not the mind. I am not the intelligence. I am not the false ego. I am not that chittam, the where all the vasanas are there. Naham, naja shrotra jihve, I am not the ears which is hearing, not the tongue which is speaking, naja ghrana netre, not the nose which is smelling, not the eyes which is seeing. Then naja vyoma bhumir na tejo na vayu, I am not any of the five material elements, earth, water, air, ether or fire. Then who am I? Chidananda rupam shivoham shivoham. I am Chidanandam. I am eternal, blissful, full of knowledge. That's me. That's me. That's my identity then. At the moment, the identity is in all these things, isn't it? Mind, buddhi, manasa, buddhi, ahangaram, chittam, manobuddhi, ahangara, chittani, naham, naja shrotra jihve, naja ghrana netre, naja vyoma bhumir, na tejo, na vayu, chidananda rupam, shivoham, shivoham. So, when realization comes, Krishna is explaining that in these verses, that my nature is Chidanandam. Chidananda rupam shivoham shivoham. Chidanandam is me, because body is not me, mind is not me, or any of the prakriti, prakriti means five material elements, is not me. Instead, I am pure Brahmam, Chaitanyam, living force within that. And If you take this, that I am that vastu, Krishna is saying, who is present everywhere, like the sky, who is present everywhere, who is present in everything throughout, as Krishna says himself, that in those verses, that when that final realization comes, sarva bhudeshu yapashyet, that state we are talking about now, sarva bhudeshu yapashyet bhagavad bhavam has happened. What is his state then, in that state? When he is seeing, at that moment, he is not seeing anymore as an individual living like that, like us, now with a body. What is his state then? Sarva bhudeshu yapashyet bhagavad bhavam alpana. That is him. I am present everywhere. His presence is felt everywhere. And this is exactly what Krishna is saying also. Vasudeva sarvamiti. Remember that? Bahunam janmana mande jnanavanmam prabadhyade vasudeva sarvamidi. Everything is vasudeva, that is his state. He has come to that state. Now, having come to that state, that it has become his meditation. Vasudeva sarvamidi. Always he is conscious of his presence everywhere, as Vasudeva is present there. Now, this thing, through dhyanam, meditation it happens, and full realization of the self happens after that. Because this is only in one step in the self-realization. There is more things to happen after that. So, therefore, when it reaches this state, it is called a nirvikalpam. Nirvikalpam. That means, therefore, you have to carefully look at these words, what they are using in the shastram for this. Nirvikalpa yogam, they call it. Nirvikalpa yogam. So, when one has come to that state of meditation, that Vasudeva Sarvamiti, Krishna says, Samahalma Sudurlabha.
I don't know what is in your imagination about that verse. I don't know. Krishna is saying, Bahunam janmana mande jnanavanmam prabhadyade vasudeva sarvamidi samahalma sudurlabha. That is the verse, isn't it? In the Bhagavad Gita, that is the verse. So now, all of us, according to our imagination, we have built up some understanding of that verse. That's very clear. It will be like that. Somebody will be thinking that he will be seeing Krishna everywhere, standing Krishna everywhere. Wherever you look, it's only Krishna who is seen. That is one way of explaining that. He may think like that. But if you really understand that verse, you can see Krishna is saying there that Bahunam Janmanam Ande, after many, many lifetimes only it's going to happen. For one for whom? Jnanavan. One who has the knowledge of the self. So prior to that happening, he has to be Jnanavan. He has to realize himself first. Jnanavan. Self-realization has to happen. After that is Vasudeva Sarvamiti happens. So first he has to realize the self. That is why he's called Jnani, Jnanavan. Mam Prabhadyade. Then Krishna is saying, after that, Vasudeva Sarvamiti. And Krishna has also put another condition there. Samahalma Sudurlabha. Is very, very rare. Krishna didn't say that they don't exist. Krishna says they are very rare. That's what he said. Samahalma Sudurlabha. They are very, very rare. So, after saying that, there, if you look at that person, how will you understand him? What is his state of consciousness? Is he still thinking, I am a jiva within this body? If he is thinking like that, he will not experience this Vasudeva Sarvamidhi. So automatically you have to understand, at that point he is not a jiva anymore, he is not limited to that body anymore, because you can't have both the things together. If you are thinking yourself to be a jiva, limited to this one little body, then you can't have the experience of the whole Vasudeva Sarvamidhi is not possible. But if you become Vasudeva Sarvamidhi, that means your jivatvam has gone. You are not a jiva anymore. Vasudeva Sarvamidhi, that's what your state is. Like we talk about Shuka Brahmarshi and Jadabharata and the Tatraya and Rishabhadev and many others like that in the Bhagavadam. They are all in that. Bhishma also finally had gone to that state according to Bhagavadam. Has gone to that state. But when we talk about in the bhakti language, we will say they have gone back home, back to Godhead. To make it a little bit more easy to comprehend, we'll put it like that. But the reality is this, that Vasudeva Sarvamidhi, that state is like that. You are not anymore limited to that body. In the body may still be there, but in the experience level, Anubhavam, he is the all-pervading Chitakasham. That is what is saying there. So Krishna is saying here that Nirvikalpam, that means at that stage it's called Nirvikalpa Yogam, and and the moment you fall away from that, you can come back to the body again. It is possible, it can happen. So, but this is if you have achieved it through the yoga process. But if it is happened through the bodham, the two ways, jnanam, if realization has happened, there are two ways you are approaching and you are reaching the same goal. Nirvikalpa yogam and nirvikalpa bodham. Nirvikalpa bodham means that once it has happened, it is bodham, it is permanent. It will not leave you again. Nirvikalpa yogam, it is possible to fall back from that. So that is why when we say about jnanis, sometimes we say they've fallen back from their realization. We say that they fell down from the Brahma Jyoti. Isn't it? We say, when we say that, you have to qualify that with this understanding also. That if you have reached there through Nirvikalpa Yogam, there is a possibility of falling, because it was achieved through, not through consciousness. Whereas Nirvikalpa Bodham is through consciousness. And once that bodham has changed, because we are that bodham. If bodham changes, then nothing can be done about it afterwards. So therefore, that in Nirvikalpa bodham, shariram, body, mind, intelligence, ahankaram, false ego, none of them is me. Instead, chidananda rupam, shivoham, shivoham.
I am that Chidanandam, I am Shivam. Shivam, not in the, do not misunderstand when he uses the word Shivam, not refers to Lord Shiva. Shiva means the nature of the soul. That's what it means in Shastram. Auspicious, in other words. Auspicious. Chidananda Rupam. Chidanandam is my nature. Chitta Anandam is my nature. Shivoham, Shivoham. I am all auspicious, all auspicious. In other words. And at that time, mind, body, intelligence cannot have any effect. Instead, I am that Brahman realization or Satya Chitta Anandam or Almavat. Upanishads calls it as Almavat or Anubhuti, and that will become firm inside. This is the process of Dhyana Margam. So, some people will go through the Dhyanam process, some people go through the Sankhyam process, and that is what Krishna is talking about in the next verse. If you see that, you will see what Krishna is saying there.
Dhyane naltmani pasyanti kejet altmanam altmanam anye sankhena yogena karma yogena chapare dhyane naltmani pasyanti kejet alpanam alpanam anye sankhena yogena karma yogena chapare.
So in the last verse, ya evam veti purusha prakritim cha gunai saha sarvadha vartan vartamanobi nasabhuyobi jayate. In that verse Krishna said that one who has reached that state where he sees Purusha with all those explanations, Ubadrashta, Anumandha, Bhartra, Bhokta, Maheshwara, what he has spoken in the previous verse, he has come to that state, and now that person, now he is not an individual anymore. You can't call him as a person like we talk about everybody else. All the names, what you address him has no meaning. Because he has gone beyond. Like you can see this, even among the Navayogis, when they came to speak to Nimi, they appeared from the sky. Isn't it? You see that photograph in the Bhagavadam? 9 sages standing in the sky. Kavi Hari, Andariksha Prabuddha Pipalayanan, Avirhotra Drumala Chamsa Karabhajanam. When they appeared here, Nimi asked them, who are you? Who are you? And they had the freedom to travel everywhere, isn't it? Avyahadeshta Gadaya, Surasadda Sadhya, Gandharva, Yaksha, Narakinnara, Nagalogan. The places where they could go to. It's mentioned there in the Bhagavadam. So, what is their identity then? Which body are you calling them as Kavi? Kavi. Which one are you calling as Andariksha? Or which one are you calling as Prabuddha? These are names used in the Bhagavadam only when they have appeared as the sons of Rishabhadev. That is how that identity is coming to them. But after they have freed themselves from their state as Kavi, Hari, Andarikshan, we are still calling them by the same name. Will they be called by the same name when they go to other planets? When they are Vidyadharas or Charanas or Kinaras or Gandharvas, because they can take all those bodies. Will they be addressed in the same way? They won't, will they be? Because they will be addressing in some other way there. So which one is their identity? Remember yesterday we talked about this, that Shuga Brahmarshi went with two different bodies. One to Bahulashiva, one to Shuddhadeva. Which one is the real one? What can you answer? You can't answer that. Krishna has expanded into 16,108 forms. Krishna had to expand to keep his householder life going. Because every wife was saying, where is my husband? And Krishna was saying, here I am. So every time he had to expand. When Krishna married Satya, one of the wives, Krishna's popular wives, when he married Satya, her father put a condition that only one who can
control all the seven bulls at the same time, I will marry my daughter to him. I have taken this vow. What did Krishna do? Expanded himself into seven different forms and controlled the seven bulls at the same time. You have to control all the seven at the same time. So Krishna did this, expanded himself to seven different forms of Krishna and controlled the seven bulls at the same time. Now if you see all the same seven Krishnas there, whom will you take it as Krishna? Who is Krishna there? All seven is Krishna, isn't it? So similarly, when great jnanis, yogis, when they expand, our material designations has no meaning anymore. It loses its value. Or Krishna has to have seven passports. Or Krishna has to have 16,108 passports. Because he is expanding all the time when he needs. Similarly, these Navayogis also, when they go to other places, their identities are changing all the time. Therefore, in spiritual identity, you cannot address them anymore with their... That is why if you look at the meaning of those words given to the nine sages, remember I mentioned this when we discussed Ekadasha Skandam, the words have completely different meaning. You will never get a person with the name Kavi in this world. Hari you may find, because Hari is Krishna's name. Have you heard anyone Andariksha by name? I have never come across anyone with the name Andariksha or with Prabuddha, Pipalayanam, Avirhotra. These are all not normal names. Why such names given? Reason is this, that giving a name to them has no meaning. The words are only indicating their state of consciousness. Prabuddha means one who has woken up from Maya. That's what it means, Prabuddha. So that's why their name Prabuddha. Similarly, Avirhotra, Drumala, Chamsa, Karabhajana, all of them has its own meanings, which we have discussed before. So names has no means at all, any meaning to them, as far as because of their spiritual identity. So what Krishna is saying here is that ya evam veti purusham, one who has come to this state, he is jivan mukta, he is a liberated person, and therefore he knows prakriti and purusha very well. And purusha he knows with the three modes of material nature, and he knows the prakriti as well. Prakriti as well he knows very well. So with this background we will move to the next verse, and I think we'll have that next Saturday. Next Sunday we don't have any classes because of Rath Yatra. So we'll have next Saturday and then we'll continue afterwards. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.